If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
If you're looking for a bunch of happy people, drive through Andersonville.
On a Saturday night.
The people on the street corners, the people in the outdoor cafes, the people waiting on buses.
Just driving down Clark Street.
Those people are happy. I was even taking pictures of them. I didn't put them up online because I didn't have their okay to put their pictures online. But I kept saying to you, look, look, these people are laughing. What do they know? I don't know.
I know nobody who rides a bike will pay attention to this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you're riding a bike, A, might not be a bad idea to stop at the stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
B, might be a good idea to stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
And not zigzag in and out of cars.
And if you come by my house, stay off my lawn. Okay?
And your porch?
And my porch, yeah. Yes. And stop picking my flowers. I'm getting everything out, okay?
Okay, good.
All right, here's another thing that kind of, I looked on Facebook just before the show started, and a friend of mine posted, we have a, and I just mentioned this to Bob, Engineer Bob, a friend said, we have a wonderful watermelon that we're all sitting out in the backyard eating, and Bob, of course, cringed because you are
allergic to melon.
To all melon.
All melons.
All
yep.
melon, and you found out the hard way,
yep.
Right? So my friend is excited because they have a $6 watermelon that when they cracked it open, it's actually good. Of course, there are people commenting, well, the seeds aren't black. They're white seeds. So that's not really a good watermelon. Mm. There's always someone like that in the crowd. But she went on to say, yes, we're going to grill it and eat it with feta cheese. And I was a little shocked. I've never done that.
And there's a part of me that actually thinks that might be interesting to try.
Grilled watermelon with feta cheese. Maybe I should ask her.
Does anybody have a recipe for that?
Ron, thumbs up or thumbs down?
It sounds like an accident. Like somebody, like,
yeah,
you know, accidentally did it and then went, oh, you know what?
This is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That was a fun party.
It doesn't sound like you would intentionally do that. So.
Well, I quickly looked up the combination, and apparently it's very common with balsamic vinegar on top of it. And then I find myself saying, why bother with the watermelon?
Yeah. So
just have a little lettuce and some feta cheese, maybe a few olives, and you got you a nice salad.
A nice Greek salad, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Weird food combinations. Of course, when you put anything on Facebook, people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
So many people say, oh, I love French fries with my milkshake. I sit in the McDonald's parking lot all by myself, and I take the lid off the milkshake when the ice cream machine works and dip my salty French fries in the milkshake.
Or the Wendy's Frosty.
Or the Wendy's Frosty.
Yeah. My sister-in-law does that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We sound like we're purists. Ron, what's your odd food combination?
Oh, I don't have anything that odd. I mean,
we're
talking about watermelons on the grill and French fries. And
what about peanut butter on your hamburger?
No, I never would even try that.
What about mayo on your peanut butter sandwich?
No.
These are some of the
things. What about mayo on your peanut butter?
Well, that's
mayo on French fries.
Mayo on French fries. That's a European thing.
Really?
Amsterdam.
Yeah. Really?
You can buy a cone of French fries, and right in the middle, they put a big dollop of mayonnaise.
Really?
And then a friend of mine from Ireland said, ketchup and mayonnaise on French fries.
Mm.
That's the thing.
That sounds
whatever.
Good.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You got to march to your own drum, right? What about olive oil ice cream?
No.
Doesn't even sound...
That's a hard no. Yeah, just the first time I've ever heard it. Don't ever want to hear it again.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound appetizing to me.
No.
Well, I bet you all agree that cheddar cheese on apple pie is pretty yummy.
Yeah.
That would be okay.
Yeah. See? And probably to other parts of the world, they go, what? You're putting cheese on your pie? That's weird.
You do realize that we've just started the show and a Food Jones is breaking out all over the place.
Okay. Julian, I turn to you. Is T-A-J-I-N, is it tahine?
Nailed it.
All right, tahine. Apparently, that's the thing. Kids are, they're drinking it out of the bottle. They're it's just a thing. And I've not had it before, but Julian, I turn to you, assuming that you would know. It's just peppers and it's spicy, right?
Yeah, it's got a little kick to it. It depends on your threshold of how much spicy you can handle.
So why would you want it on ice cream? That's another one, Peter.
That's a similar question I raised to olive oil ice cream.
Yes.
but isn't that almost kind of the payday bar thing? You've
sweet
got sweet and
salt.
You've got salt.
Yeah. It is. It's kind of like the peanuts, the salted peanuts in a Coke.
Right.
From 100 years ago. You'd get a bottle of Coke back in the days when you were satisfied with an 8-ounce Coke. You didn't need a 32-ounce Coke. So you get a little bottle of Coke, you take a sip out of it, and you pour the bag of peanuts in it, and it gets all icky looking, but you drink it, and it's a sweet, salty combo, and then you got the nuts to eat at the end, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a Southern thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if you only have a 50 cents for a meal, you could buy that for a meal. It would tide you over until dinner time.
Yes.
What about chocolate-covered bacon?
Actually, once you've said the word bacon, everything
before it was just fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
Everything.
I would try that.
Would you?
Chocolate-covered
bacon?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to make it one day. I'm going to bring it into work, especially if it's a good maple bacon that makes the house smell so yummy.
Okay. Chocolate, but would you want something like strawberry bacon or butterscotch bacon?
No.
Ew. Oh, silly me. Okay.
Why would you
ruin bacon like that?
Really?
That's what I'm thinking. Just, you know,
okay.
The bacon and then later on have some chocolate.
Goodness.
Or butterscotch.
We've talked about being raised on either mayo or Miracle Whip. So now a listener tells me that peanut butter and Miracle Whip is where it's at. Ooh.
Not so much.
We got both of them at home. Maybe we'll... Nah, I'll take your word for it, listener. I'm not going to go there. Okay, so I got us started on the subject of food. So if you are out grilling late tonight, maybe making some s'mores, that's a good thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And since the temperature is supposed to be going down, we may have to do a fire pit with some s'mores over the next week or so.
Yes.
In the studio?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. Your point is?
You guys are fun. I didn't know that. Wow. I'm in.
And I'll bring the warm drinks for us to have around the fire.
Well, there we go.
Yes.
That's a radio show right there. Wow. That's an award winner.
And I have those marshmallows that are the size of a baby's head.
Yep.
They're so big.
And we have the smokeless wood chips.
Yes, we do. I bet we could pull it off in here, right, Bob?
So they won't set off the fire extinguisher?
Well, no, that's it. You know, when you're done, the pre-action system would just take care of everything.
Just open up the windows.
That's right.
18th floor.
I got a good cup of coffee. We got a full show tonight. We got some exciting guest joining us.
Yes.
In the house, Carl Giamorisi. We haven't seen him forever.
One of the founders of the Buckinghams. He has a brand new solo album out. It's wonderful.
Yep.
Wow.
He brought his guitar.
Ron, have you ever met Carl?
No, I haven't.
Oh, golly. He's a Chicago treasure. He really is.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky that as busy as he is, he was able to eke out a Saturday that he's not working. So we bring him down here to work.
And I told you earlier, thinking about Carl, I'm pretty sure that I first encountered Carl about 60 years ago in my first job in radio.
The Buckinghams were hot then, huh?
Yeah, well, they were just
kind of a drag.
Yeah, kind of a drag.
Yeah, that's everybody loved that song.
Right. Nationwide. That wasn't just a Chicago hit. Yeah. Of course, you were 9, right?
Yes. And Carl was 5.
That's right.
1966. Mm-hmm. My first job in radio, WJOB Hammond. And that record was being promoted by
Carl Bonifetti,
the Screamin' Wild Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really my first exposure to the Buckinghams. And mm-hmm. shortly after that, I don't remember which appearance it was, but that was around the time that I first met Carl Giammarisi, who's going to be in the studio with us. Carl, one of the founding members of the Buckinghams. And when Carl, I know you're listening on the speaker in the green room. Be prepared. When you come in the studio, I want you to tell me, because I have never known what all the background stuff is. Where they're singing. In fact, Ronnie Rice does kind of a of the stuff that's going on behind.
Really? See, you listen to music differently than
I baby,
do.
Listen. I've never known what the heck that is.
All these years. All these decades.
So 60 years later, I want to find out what that is.
Well, you think on that. We have coming up tonight, not only will Carl Giammarisi be joining us, but it is computer night.
Patrick Crispin will join us, and we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. There's a Windows update thing that you need to be aware of. Also, speaking of Windows, we are less than 2 months away from Microsoft saying, nope, we're not supporting Windows 10 anymore. So we're going to talk a little bit about both those things and a whole lot more.
And Bob, before we take a break for news, I have to tell you that AOL has stopped their dial-up for AOL.
You know.
I know.
I mean, I've got all that big stack of both floppy disks and CDs where I could just install it anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I could...
Now you got a bunch of coasters
all
around the house.
Yeah. What do you bet they're going to be collectible at some point?
That's a real news story, too. And everybody went, oh, this it can't be true. AOL is no longer going to be doing dial-up.
Yep.
And don't laugh if you know someone who has dial-up. Maybe they have to have dial-up. You never know.
Yep.
Some of us live far enough away from the telephone exchange that we can't get anything but dial-up.
Good point. Okay, so lighten up, people.
Yeah. Get off my lawn. Lighten up.
I'm going to take you over to our text line at 312-981-7200.
You may do that. It's your show.
We were speaking of odd food combos. And by the way, listeners do agree with you on the subject of bike riders, that they should... They should ride so that people don't hate them.
Yeah. I love bike riding. I'm in favor of bike riders. Mm-hmm. But don't be a bleephole.
Okay. So quickly turning over to the subject of odd food combos. What about vanilla ice cream with chopped Claussen's pickles on top? Unless you're pregnant, that sounds really strange.
I think I might try it once.
Once. Okay.
Because I love pickles.
What about...
And I love ice cream. Doesn't mean I would love them together.
And you love processed...
Now, maybe I'd have to put peanut butter on it.
You love processed American cheese.
Oh, yeah.
That great, bright orange cheese that comes wrapped in cellophane.
Yeah, yeah. I have been known...
To just eat a piece
of night,
cheese.
To wander out. And see, in the middle of the night, I can sometimes hear Johnny...
Stop it.
I hear the refrigerator door open... And
stop it.
I know that pickle juice is being consumed.
It's my pickle juice.
Sometimes in the middle of the night, Johnny may hear
cellophane.
The refrigerator door and hear cellophane. I want a piece of old-fashioned American cheese.
Okay, so what about this combo? You take a banana and you slice it and you rip off little squares of American cheese and you lay it on the banana slice. Sounds kind of disgusting, doesn't it? I'm told...
I have a line, and I'm not going to use it.
I'm told it's yummy.
Oh, okay.
This all got started with a listener who's grilling watermelon tonight and having it with feta cheese. And they said,
I want to find out how you do that. That actually sounds
interesting. So 630 says, no. It's watermelon plus feta plus mint and lime juice. Hello.
See, to me, that would really dilute the watermelon taste.
It all dilutes the watermelon taste to
me. Yeah, but at least...
Like, if you've got a good watermelon...
You'd still be able to get... You know, you'd be able to ferret out the two extremes.
What do ferrets have to do with this? All right. Another 312 says, add some cucumber and fresh mint or basil and a very light vinaigrette. Again, if I got a good watermelon, why am I doing that?
See, one of the constants in our relationship
is
that it's a selfish act on my part. Johnny gets any cucumber that makes its way to my plate.
But I get every piece of okra, not yokra, but okra.
Yeah.
All the turnip greens and all the mustard greens belong to me just because
cucumber, okra, turnip greens. It's a selfless act on my part.
It really is.
To make sure that you are able to indulge in all of those.
The 608 area code says, I accidentally purchased a box of mango popsicles with tahine. It was a spicy surprise.
I bet.
Love y'all. Well, thank you. A spicy surprise. To which I find myself saying, probably not inexpensive. Why didn't you read the box before you bought it? Cantaloupe and vanilla ice cream. Now, that does sound kind of yummy. Eh. You take a cantaloupe half, you take the seeds out, and you use that as your bowl to put your vanilla ice cream in there.
I've never been a huge cantaloupe fan.
I know.
Maybe a cantaloupe with a little bit of salt, and that's about as far as I go.
Ooh, you just reminded me. There was a lifesaver. There used to be a melon lifesaver, and it was light orange like cantaloupe. It was so good. It was like in a roll of lifesavers that were tropical fruits. There was like a white coconut, a milky white one, and then was a pineapple. I haven't thought about that forever, but I can kind of taste that cantaloupe lifesaver right now because it was so different. Anybody out there know if there's such a thing as a cantaloupe candy? I want it. Tell me. Can I get it on Amazon?
I think there is, actually.
Look at me. I'm looking at my lips, too.
You
I'm
are.
Like, sounds so good.
I'm looking at you. You're looking at your lips.
I am. you can get to us throughout the show at 312-981-7200.
You know what this has done to me. All of this talk about different food combinations. Mm-hmm. I want some Cajun rye toast with peanut butter when we get home.
I know. As long as I don't have to sit across from you.
And for those of you who don't know, this goes back to when I was growing up, and we didn't have a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would spear a piece of rye bread.
On a fork.
On a fork. Or a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And hold it over the flame
so
it would become borderline black. Mm-hmm. And then put some beech nut peanut butter on it.
Really?
I was a happy camper.
I know beech nut gum. Again, another great gum. I think they're the ones that made clove, which I loved.
I was never a fan of that.
Oh, I love that.
Nope,
and
nope,
blackjack.
Nope,
I
nope,
love
nope,
blackjack.
Nope, nope.
Oh, my gosh. And that has to
you
exist.
You can add that to your cucumber.
I got a birthday coming up. Find this for me, okay? You said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I got everything. Find me cantaloupe lifesavers or hard candy and some blackjack and some... I really do love that clove gum, though. That's a nice ring-a-ding-ding flavor.
And so, I married you anyway.
So a listener said... Oh, bless your heart. The listener said, listening to this conversation, I had to get up and run to the restroom.
What?
I know.
Okay.
That's a little...
But again, that adds to our ratings because...
Oh, stop.
For years, we have had the number one rating with PWPs.
Yes.
People without pants.
Yes. Well, we had that documented.
Yes, we did.
And then David...
Extensive surveys.
And then David Letterman tried to steal it.
He did.
He literally tried to steal our PWPs, and we took him to task for
that. I thought you were going to say he tried to steal your pants.
Okay, one final food note. Listener sends us a link to Heinz Mexican-inspired street corn sauce. This looks pretty yummy.
Street corn. Corn sauce.
I'm thinking it's probably mayonnaise, ketchup, since it's Heinz, It's probably spicy. I'm ordering this today.
Street corn sauce.
Yes. Street corn has mayo slathered on it, and I guess that's tahine, the spicy stuff they put on the outside. And so you've got your boiled, I'm showing you a boiled ear of corn. I'm holding my hand out here showing you what, this is how you hold an ear of corn. And then you slather it. I know. Do not say anything about that. Why are you blushing?
I'll be over here. Next week, John Barry is going to be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be doing an appearance at Hey Nani.
Hey Nani, an evening with John Barry at Hey Nani's on a Friday, September 12th. Prior to that, he's going to be in Pulaski, Iowa, and then he's going to Ypsilanti, Michigan. And he's doing a couple of events, including the Opry Country Classics with the Gatlin Brothers.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like his 30-year tour. He's continued singing, but just not out there touring. And 30 years on, he said, it's about time I go back out there and say hi to my fans. So we're going to talk to him next Saturday night about what he's been up to. He's not only a Grammy winner, he's also an Emmy winner. So we'll find out all about that next week.
Okay. By the way, speaking of people that are going to be joining us over the next couple of weeks, Tommy Emmanuel will be joining us in a couple of weeks. He has a brand new album of all new material that is coming out, and Tommy's going to be joining us. Oh, that reminds me. If you haven't checked out our blog, please do. And our blog address is stevanjohnny.wordpress.com. And we would like you to subscribe, free subscription. And no, we don't spam you. You only get an email whenever we do a new post. And last Sunday, we did a post that has had so much reaction. Doyle Dykes, extraordinary guitar player, dear friend of ours.
Regular on our show back when we were here five nights a week.
Doyle does a Sunday thing on YouTube. It's called his Sunday
String-Along.
He had Tommy Emmanuel on as his guest. And it's a wonderful, it's about a half hour video. But in the middle of the video, Doyle starts talking about something, and it involved Tommy, and I'm not going to spoil it. If you go to our blog, it happened at our house.
Mm-hmm.
We were surprised as we were watching the video, and they started talking about that. And we were, oh, whoa. Mm-hmm. And we give, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story to that. And it was a... it was a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm. But the video is wonderful, too, because you see these two unbelievable guitarists side by side enjoying each other's company and what the other one is doing. And just it's just really cool to see, like almost like the wheels going in their head as the other one's playing and they pick up. And
So again, check out our blog and please subscribe, because honestly... who knows? The way life goes and Meta gets crazy, who knows what Meta, Facebook might decide to do, but you will always find us on our blog and on our YouTube channel. So, stevanjohnny, excuse me, .wordpress.com. I get all choked up just talking about it.
Okay. Just in case you've jotted down ideas for birthday presents for me.
Yeah.
A listener wants you to know, it's not, even though you said beech nut peanut butter made me think of beech nut gum, the beech nut gum is fruit stripe gum, which is the only gum in the world you can put in your mouth and literally a minute later, there's no flavor. That was the beauty of fruit stripe gum. And they don't make that anymore. Beemans. You need to look for Beemans.
Beemans.
Clove and blackjack.
And didn't they have something called Beemans Pepsin chewing gum?
Oh, I don't know. Clove and blackjack is what you're looking for when you're doing your shopping.
Oh, okay.
Now, you said, do you want to go someplace for your birthday? And a listener gives me an idea of where we should go. Thank you, Terry and Desplaine. She said, get out to Rockford. Go to eat at the Machine Shed restaurants. They have all the gum you want, and their store will send you over the top because they even have Necco wafers, my other favorite candy. Yes, we may have to make a trip out there. 630 area code said, I get my fix of Beeman's gum at Cracker Barrel. They have it along with the clove, the tea berry. Remember the tea berry hop?
Sure.
The tea berry and the blackjack up by the register. I really only like the Beeman's. I believe it is advertised to soothe your tummy after a meal, and it tends to do that for me. It's also featured in the movie The Right Stuff. That's right. Test pilot Chuck Yeager always asks his mechanic for a Beeman's. Love you guys. That's from Mary Nook. And thank you for listening and for chiming in at 312-981-7200.
Speaking of Cracker Barrel, there's been this whole controversy over Cracker Barrel changing its logo. I don't really care one way or another. What I'm curious about is how much difference is that going to make to the interior of Cracker Barrel?
They are changing their tabletops. So there's going to be some change. And there's been some talk about getting rid of the general store, the tchotchkes, which is really the thing that I loved about Cracker Barrel. I always found some cool stuff there, reasonably priced, too. But I've done a lot of reading on this. And for the people who say, well, you know what? They've gone woke. No, they were going broke. That's why they had to change.
For all of the people that are saying, oh, this is horrible. They're destroying a really good franchise. No, they were in serious trouble. Yeah. And the woman who is now running it is the woman who saved Taco Bell.
Yes.
And she is now the head of Cracker Barrel. And she is making it, her intention is to make it a more all-inclusive. Yeah, bring the family, come on out.
Looking for younger people to come to the restaurant.
Because one of the... one of the problems they were having is their clientele was dying off.
Yep.
And that I don't say that to be pejorative in any way. That's just the reality of the demographic that was their main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to broaden their scope to attract some younger diners.
So before you jump on the oh, they've gone woke bandwagon, do a little reading, because I came across a number of stories. Denny's also is feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
Really, you name it. That's why you often see, whether it's McDonald's or Burger King, kind of reshuffling. Okay, what can we do? Arby's went through a major change, too. And I'm beginning to wonder, are they even selling roast beef? Because, again, they had to change because they were going down the tubes.
Ooh.
Yeah, now you're thinking roast beef.
Arby's had the best roast beef sandwiches.
Sorry.
Sadly, not gluten-free, but I loved their roast beef sandwiches.
Yes, yes, yes. It's only the first hour of the show, and listen to
us. I know,
and
there is such a huge food Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, Carl G. Morisi, one of the founding members of the Buckinghams, he has a brand new, wonderful album.
Let the Music Play.
The man who is playing that music is in the studio with us. Hey, buddy.
Hey. How you doing?
That song actually gives me goosebumps.
Well, thank you
so much. It's
so
sweet.
It's so fantastic to hear it.
With your headphones on.
I actually haven't listened to the album lately. You know, I haven't.
Really?
I hope I have the opportunity to do some of these songs live. You know?
Yes.
But I'm excited about the album. It's Let the Music Play. It's, you know, like I was saying earlier to Steve, I just love still recording and writing. I have to do it. It's for my own sanity and my, you know, I just love making music, making new music.
It's obvious.
And I just keep doing that.
What we said when we found out you had a new album was, how does he find the time? Because we're lucky to get you in here tonight because you have been so incredibly busy.
Well, yeah, the Buckinghams have had a pretty busy summer.
Yeah.
We've been jumping around quite a bit, and I got to tell you, it's
tiring.
Flying is no fun anymore.
Yeah.
Every date we do, if it's an isolated date, you have to leave the day before.
Mm-hmm.
You get in there, and then you play the show the next night.
And you're working around the weather and hoping that you get there.
And flights are always delayed, and there's always some kind of problem. So, so it's been, we went, we were in Costa Mesa. We were at the Pacific Amphitheater with Peter Noon and the Grassroots, and we had about 5,000 people at the Pacific Amphitheater.
Cool.
And then we came back, and then we went east. That's our agent doesn't know how to put dates together.
He just throws darts at the map.
At the board and you know, it's
just, they'll go to New York.
Yeah. So then we went from there to Boston and drove down to Cape Cod to play a show.
Oh.
Then came back, played, I think it was on the 7th, August 7th, we played the big festival in Addison, Illinois here. That was nice. And then we went the next day to Akron, Ohio. So, you know, so we're all over the place. I mean, it makes no rhyme, no reason. You know, it's we're all over.
But one of the things I noticed from some of the videos that I watch of your recent performance, as long as you've been doing this, it's still fresh. You bring that excitement. You never do what I call Las Vegas versions of your songs.
Oh, wow.
You give the audience the performance they came to see.
You know what a Vegas version is. You. That's when people speed it up because they want to get over with. Right. They do one verse and they move on.
It up, change the melody a little bit. Well, you know, I really believe in that authenticity of the song. What people remember, you know, I mean, you know, hopefully before we do a show, they're listening to their old records and, you know, remembering the songs. So I try to keep it. We try to keep it that way. Nick Fortuna and I. Are the two original guys still out there doing it. And we've got a great band, and the arrangements are just the way we did it back in the day, you know. And I even go back and listen to the record sometimes just to make sure I'm not getting off course, you know.
Thank you.
And play, you know, doing it different, you know, just different phrasing or whatever, you know.
Because you know there's somebody in the audience going, oh, wait, that's not how it goes, Carl.
Yeah, occasionally you forget a line or a word, too, but it's still after all these years. But that's fine. People like that. You
know, talking about his time with the Buckinghams, he came in with gifts tonight. We have the new T-shirt, Buckingham's 60 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the revelation I had earlier today. Am I right? You and I have known each other for roughly 60 years, because I was at WJOB in 1966 playing kind of a drag back when the Screaming Wild Man, Carl Bonifetti, was promoting you guys, and it was shortly after that we first met.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have tie-dye. Right. Yeah. This is the best. Oh, the tie-dye I have the one. 60s tie-dye.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
60, you know, it's incredible, that 60 years.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know, it's we're still going.
In your wildest dreams at that point, could you have projected that 60 years on you'd still be doing this and enjoying it?
I remember being asked that question. How much longer will you do this? And I said, well, I don't know. I hope for a while, you know. I don't
And you
know.
Were in your 20s?
You know, people ask me that, how much longer, you know. And I usually say something like, well, maybe a week from Tuesday, you know, or something like that. You know. But we just keep, you know, I mean, just like the song on the album, which is the title song, Let the Music Play. Mm-hmm. The lyrics are all about just having a good time making music for as long as we can. And,
well, I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but I want to take you back to when you were like, because you were with the Buckinghams, you were in high school at Lane Tech, right?
Right, correct.
So let's go back a few years before that. And when they would ask you the age-old question of, Carl, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did you say singer?
No. Not, you know what I wanted, what I really wanted to do, like when I was in grammar school, when I was graduating grammar school, I went to Lane specifically because I wanted to be an automotive designer.
Ooh.
I wanted to design cars. That's why I'm a real car nut when it comes to design, and I thought Lane Tech would be a good school for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I had I have to brag a little bit. I had a high, grade average.
You had to,
yeah. And you know, in those days, you had to take an entrance exam to get into Lane.
That's right.
And I didn't have to do that, you know.
And that was back in the days when it was all boys, too.
Yeah, and it was totally an all-boys school. And I was a good student for about 3 years. And I started, you know, playing guitar. And I remember my cousin, Jerry Ilardi, called me to join his band. That was the first band I was in the centuries. And I was in high school. And it started playing, you know, mostly just parties, neighborhood things, you know. And I don't know. And then the Beatles happened.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, we all wanted to be the fifth Beatle. And I just got, you know, caught up in that whole thing and put the whole
automotive
designer thing on the back burner and never went back to it. I mean, kind of a drag was starting to happen. I was a senior in high school, you know, so.
Well, let me tap into your car designer for a second. At that time, was there anybody that you were looking at, like a Virgil Exner or some of the people that were designing for Studebaker or Chrysler, or who were you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really throw out names right now, but I was looking at the different, you know, I had these aspirations of going to Italy and working for Enzo Ferrari, you know. I went all the way up, you know. I mean, you know,
cause that's impressive.
Just thought that's what I, you know, and still today. I mean, we're putting something together for all, looking at all the cars I've owned in my life. I mean, I've had a lot of cars.
Really?
You know, my wife always said if I changed wives as often as I did cars, I'd be in a lot of trouble financially, you know, because I counted about, in the 30s.
Whoa!
You know, I've had all kinds of.
Did you just mess up the ashtray and get a new car instead of cleaning it?
I just would get tired of them quickly and move on to something else or something to turn me. You know, my favorite car today, still today, is my '69 Porsche 911.
Oh, okay.
That was my favorite. You know, my favorite car.
So you know how to drive a manual.
Yeah.
Because now you know you get your vet and it's an automatic. It's not.
Well, you know,
manual.
When I bought that car, I did not know how.
Well, of course not.
And when I had to pick it up from the dealer, and Porsche wasn't as well known yet in this country, it took me a few months to waiting for the car to come in. I took my dad with me to drive the car.
To bring it home?
Yeah. And I little by little learned how to drive it. I still didn't know how to drive it, you know.
Oh, that's fun.
Stick shift, you know. And I had quite a few that were, you know, stick shift.
Well, yeah, if you're a car guy, you have to, right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, though, because you're talking about what you imagined you would be when you grew up, and I flashed on what I kept telling everybody, I'm going to be a crossing guard. That's all I wanted to do was
a crossing guard.
I've got pictures that I drew of me with a belt and a stop sign. I was like, I had great dreams of being a crossing guard.
Wow.
Well, I was going to be a cartoonist.
Yes.
Until I heard Chuck Berry and Les Paul.
And that was it.
And I thought, okay. Yeah. Hello, something's going on here.
I think both of you realized that more girls are interested in you than if you were cartooning or if you were
That's true. That's
an
another
auto
reason. That
designer.
Stuck with me for years.
Yep.
I mean, I did say one time, you know, I started playing guitar in a band to meet girls, you know. And that's true. I was kind of shy, you know. And that way they come to you. You know, you have to work that hard.
But every drummer we've ever talked to, every drummer has said, not the same. If you're a guitarist, you get the girls. And we drummers are back here going, hello. Everyone we've ever talked to.
Yeah. You know, I just want to mention that book you put together for Les Paul. I read that, you know, and I love that book. And I still tell the joke, the story about the accordions.
Accordions?
Yeah.
I still get a laugh from
And he would just tell that to aggravate me as a former accordionist.
Well, that's why, you know, a lot of people I know, especially my family, you know, everybody was encouraging you to play the accordion back then. And
sure.
Oh, I don't want to, you know.
It's not cool.
It's, yeah. But that was a good one.
Well, you wrote us a wonderful review for the book, too, which we really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We are talking with Carl Giammarisi, and we're going to have to find out if you're going to be performing around here soon for folks who are saying, wait a minute, I haven't seen Carl in years.
The blatant plug light has started flashing. If people want to get the album, where do they go? What's the easiest place? Your website, Amazon, where?
Well, if you want the CD, which I always say, you know, there's so much, not a lot of people want CDs anymore, you know, but it's still
we
available.
Do.
Yes.
You know, it's still available. You can get it off the Buckingham's website, you know, www.thebuckinghams.com,
mm-hmm.
or my website, carlgmaurice.com.
I think Buckingham's is easier to spell.
Yeah,
Jim Maurice.
It's a long one. I know.
Just put in the GIA and it'll pop up.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, you can order from the websites, and it's available on all the download social media platforms like Spotify and Apple Music and all of them. You know, we put mm-hmm. them up there, and I have this really nice lady who kind of does a lot of work for us as a publicist, Dawn Lee Wakefield, and she, because mm-hmm. I'm so inept at all this stuff, and she's, you know, I write the songs, I record, I know how to, you know,
you can't know everything,
but social media, you can get it and, you know, mm-hmm.
or just download it.
You can download the album.
Okay, before we get too far into this. And we're going to have to break for news in about 2 minutes. There is a question that's been on my mind for 60 years.
Oh my God, 60. Oh, boy.
And I'm hoping you would relieve me of the angst of trying to figure out what the chorus was singing on kind of a drag.
Oh, boy.
Oh, baby. I thought Ronnie Rice could help me, but he just goes blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Okay, you want to hear it?
Yeah. Yes. What's the chorus?
All right. Hopefully I can remember. Listen to me when I'm speaking, because you know the words I'm thinking, and I know that you've been cheating. Ooh, I hope that we'll be meeting. Ooh, I still love you. That's it.
Wow.
Whoa. Hello. Save that.
You want
Julian.
Me to write that down or yes. did you save it? Did you record that? Or I could say it again slower if you need.
So I want to take you back to Let the Music Play. We love it. I love the way you perform it. Is it okay that I tell him what I said to you as I was listening to it
sure.
for the umpteenth time?
Yeah.
You got to get that to Cliff Richard. That has Cliff Richard written all over it.
Really?
He needs that song. The lyrics work for him. And
your voice is kind of in the same register as Cliff Richard's.
Yeah, the trick is to get it to him.
And you know that he's had a top 10 hit for the past...
Since 1958.
Every
decade.
Really?
Every decade he's had a top 10, yes.
I mean, I didn't realize that. That's pretty incredible.
We need to get him on the air, and let's play it for him.
We will. It's been too late, because we've had him on several times.
Yeah.
And
is it okay if we play it for him and say we want to put this in your ear?
I'd be honored if you did that. That'd be wonderful.
And I'm trying to think of how old he is right now.
Isn't he 80?
He's 80 something, and he has just announced a new tour that he's doing.
Oh, yes. Goodness, by the way, before we break for news, happy belated birthday!
Yes,
well, thank you.
You've had two days to get used to it, right?
Thank you. It came and it went. You know.
Yeah.
So now you're old enough to go into those bars that you've been playing in.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So you're a Virgo.
It was a very laid back birthday. My wife and I, Barbara and I, went out to dinner, early dinner, so that I could be in bed by 9. You know.
And you're a Virgo, like I am. In fact, the Buckingham's next gig is on my birthday. At Roscoe Village.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? The 5th?
Yes.
That's your birthday.
We decided to shut up and let Carl do whatever it is he would like to do. What do you want to do?
Well, you know, the album Let the Music Play is a collection of songs I've written, most of them. But I did do a couple cover songs on mm-hmm. there. And I was very fortunate to work with this very talented lady who sang with me and played piano on a Beatles song. In my life, and it was one of my favorite. I suggested this to her. I said, why don't we do this song? I always wanted to record this song.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with an arrangement. We kept it pretty simple with just me on guitar, her on piano, and a little bit of percussion, you know. And it came together. Her and I, you know, blended so well together. And her name is Kiki Epson. And Kiki lives out in California. I met her years ago. She's got a few albums out on her own. She's a very talented lady. Her father, it was Buddy Upson.
Oh.
Remember Buddy
Upson?
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to talk to her sometime.
Yeah.
I bet she's got stories.
Oh, God. A lot of stories. You know, she came into Chicago last year, not Chicago, actually the Belfry Theater in Wisconsin near Lake Geneva. And she did her Joni Mitchell show. You know, she does you know, and I joined her on a few Joni Mitchell songs. So that was a real treat for me, you know. So, so we did a couple songs on the album. There Comes a Time is another song on the album that she sang with me on. And we did the Beatles song In My Life, you know. So I thought I'd play a little bit of that song, you know. I'll do the short version. Let's see, is this? Okay. Here we go. There are places I remember all my life, but them have changed, some forever, not for better, some are gone, but some remain. All these places have their moments with lovers and friends. I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living. In my life, I love them all. But of all these friends and lovers, there is no one compares with you. And these memories lose their meaning when I think of love. There's something new. All these moments you'll never remember these words. For lovers and friends, I still can recall. I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I love them all. In my life, I love them all.
So what's the story?
Except for screwing it up.
What's the story behind your guitar? Because it's beautiful.
This guitar?
It's a Taylor guitar?
It's a Taylor. I've had it for, I think, about 6-7 years now.
It's and so warm.
It's an easy guitar to take care of, and it's I can go anywhere with it, and I don't have to worry about too much. It's easy to play. It's got a great neck. I don't know. It sounds good.
It does. It sounds great.
Now, do you believe the same thing that I tell Johnny every time I want a new guitar? That every guitar teaches you something new.
Yeah, it does, and it usually inspires me to write another song.
Yeah,
you know, you get a new guitar, and it's like, oh wow, this sounds really cool. If I do this,
yeah,
you know, and then. And then all of a sudden you're writing another song, you know.
So how do you write songs? Do you say, today I'm going to write, and you sit down with paper and you do this longhand, or?
You know, there's really no rules on how to write.
Do you ever wake up with a song?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll jot down some lyrics, and then I'll just start get a feel for a melody or lyrics. Sometimes I start with the melody or lyrics, and what is this melody telling me, you know, and what, or I just think about something I want to write about, you know, and start doing it that way. Or I'll come up with a progression of chords, you know, that just feels right, you know, and you know, and it comes so many different ways. You know, I wrote a song years ago called, Oh Lord, Make Me More Like You. It was never thought of it as being like a, you know, being a Christian rock song mm-hmm. or Christian. And I just did the song, and a couple Christian rock artists picked up the song and started, you know, and recorded
sure.
it. And it was a great honor for me to hear another artist do your song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's always a thrill. You know?
If you recall, what was one of the quickest songs you ever wrote? Something where it's just, it's there and, okay, I got to write this down now because it's here.
Well, that song I just mentioned, Oh Lord, Make Me Worthy, I wrote that song seriously in a half hour.
Really?
The wow. words just came out. And don't ask me to play it. It's been so long.
Well, was there something in your life, though, that did that brought
yeah,
that about?
My father had just passed away.
Okay.
A couple weeks before
yeah.
I wrote that song. And I just sat down one night and I just started having these certain feelings.
So it was cathartic.
And yeah. And, mm-hmm. and that was the inspiration for writing that song.
Sure.
And, a lot of the songs on this album, Let the Music Play, you know, there's different things that come to mind why I wrote those lyrics. I mean, it's like, you know, just to do a little bit of this, you know, I'm coming home on Monday morning, you know, it's... I've been wrong long for, I've been gone for way too long. That same old fear comes without warning. In this place where I belong. You know, I mean, it just comes out. You know, you just.
I'm going to say, I want to hear more of that. Do you want to do a little more of that? It's wonderful.
All right, let's see. All right, let's see if I can... I mean, you know, the hard thing about any of these songs, I don't have the opportunity to play them live, mm-hmm. you know, and like
sure.
you know, like the Buckingham. So, you know, so I'm actually trying to do this for the first time, play these songs since I wrote them, you know. I mean, this is, this song, I'll tell you a quick story. I was on the Happy Together tour in 2022, and... it was a rough tour. I mean, if you know anything about it, it's about 60, 65 one-nighters.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a grueling schedule. Wonderful tour. Great people.
Aren't you on a bus when you do
that?
You're
on a bus.
Because we talked to you one time on a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't ride on the bus very often. I can't sleep on those things.
Yeah.
So Gary, someone like Gary Puckett and I would rent a car and we were driving around the country, you know. But that tour was pretty rough because I wound up with COVID. And I was sick in a hotel room for about 4 days. You know, I had to. So, you know, it was, you know, and I started writing this song and the words just came to me, you know. I'm coming home on Monday morning. I've been gone for way too long. That same old fear comes without warning. In this place where I belong. I've been north and south and east and west and everywhere in between. There ain't no time, but I need some rest. So much that I've seen. Thank God you're there for me to lean on. I could never make it on my own. We all need someone to lean on. So many places unknown. I go through the night and every day, made friends along the way. They seem to know just who you are. The road is long and far. Every night I hear you say the words that get me through the day. They help me till I get back home. You want to hear the rest of it? I'm coming home again tomorrow. just like the many times before. You know I can't wait for tomorrow, until I'm standing at my door. I've been up and down and all around, and everywhere you can go. I was lost and found, but I found but I'm homeward bound. There's so much that I know. I'm coming home on Monday morning. I know I'll have to leave once again. I'm coming home on Monday morning. Someday for good, I don't know when. Someday for good, I don't know when. I almost got through it.
That last line gets me every time.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
That was special. That was really, really
That's the first
nice.
Time I ever tried doing that song.
Well, bless your heart myself. For doing it for us. Thank you.
Oh,
a listener wants to know, and by the way, that song is on Carl's new CD, Let the Music Play. When you perform with the Buckinghams, can they get your CD, your new CD?
Yes.
Okay.
We will have it available. You know, we always come out after the show and mm-hmm. do the autographs and meet. It's one of the fun things for me. I love coming out and meeting people and getting
sure.
a response from the show, and they're all excited, and, yeah. and we're all having a good time. And so we have, you know, the Buckinghams Gold CD available with mm-hmm. all the hits on it, and I have been putting the Let the Music Play CD out there too. So
and Buckingham's T-shirts also available.
Yeah.
Is that some swag they can buy?
Yeah.
And the 6 and 60 is a peace sign, which is just so appropriate.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know,
very 60s.
60 years. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I still can't believe it. You know?
One of my favorite songs from the new album, Let the Music Play, 99.9, just by our guest Carl Giammarisi, who is one of the founding members of the Buckinghams. That's an interesting, unusual. So where did you come up? I love that. How
well,
did that happen?
It's just, I just started to, you know, every song I write, the lyrics isn't always what I've experienced. I put myself in that place. And that was basically, you know, loving this person but not being able to give all, you know.
Not 100%.
Not 100%.
Yeah.
Just holding back a little bit for whatever reason. And that's what it was about, really.
But
you know.
Musically, I feel like it belongs in a Bond movie.
Oh, yeah.
That Seriously. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah.
What was that? It's not a clarinet. What is that?
That's a soprano sax.
Okay.
In there. And that's there's a great musician here in Chicago, Steve Eisen.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
You know Steve? Steve, who I think he still plays with the Ides on mm-hmm. March. And he played on that cut. That was him.
That's just a perfect flavoring.
Yeah. And he gave it such a nice feel, you know, put his talent, his sax in all the right places mm-hmm. on that song, you know. It just really, really came out nice. And like I was saying, I always wanted to do sing in another language. And when I first wrote the song, my grandmother was still alive, and she was helping me to do it in Italian, to actually write lyrics down and try to
wow.
do it, you know. And then that got away from us. She passed away. You know, I forgot about the song for many years. And then when I revived it, we recorded it on an album back in the middle 90s, 95. I said, well, maybe we want to do it in Spanish. You know, maybe that would more people could relate to that. And I always, even though I don't speak much Spanish or Italian for mm-hmm. that matter, but I never had problems with the pronunciations. You know, I can always articulate the, mm-hmm. you know. And then I had a little bit of a coach, and then I remember asking some friends that spoke fluently mm-hmm. Italian, and I said, does it sound authentic? Do I say? He said, yeah, you sound, you know.
Good,
sounds,
yeah.
It sounds authentic. It sounds real. So, you know, I was happy about that, but I just wanted to put that. I always thought that song didn't get the attention it should have. This was way before social media or anything.
Right, you know, right.
Or Facebook, whatever. And so I just wanted to give that song more attention.
Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of your many songs that not only do I love the lyrics, but the melody of that song. I mean, that could be a beautiful instrumental, too. It's just so...
Yeah, it's that that ninth chords yeah. that are in there, you know. Mm-hmm. You yeah. wouldn't know what I mean, but it's yeah. It had a certain sound, you know, and I played guitar on that. That was, mm-hmm. you know, on the solo in there and the acoustic guitar. And our keyboard player, who's been with us forever, Bruce Soboroff, he's been with the Buckinghams for 39 years.
Wow.
So that's him on the keyboards on that. Uh-huh. You know.
And you mentioned The Ides of March. Did you record some of this album at Jim Peterick's studio?
No, I didn't. I didn't record the album there. But what I did was, I'm working in that medium now of you know, digital. Mm-hmm. You know, using a ProLogic system. It's an Apple computer-based system mm-hmm. now to record on. So I did all the recording, and the guests I had on the album. We talked about Dave Mikulskis, mm-hmm. Who's a great singer. I mean, that guy's got. The Steve Perry voice,
you know, yeah,
he's out there. So and Kiki Epson and several, you know, keyboard players, we would just send files back and forth. We were sending WAV files. They never even came into my house and my studio.
Wow.
I say I need a little more of this, a little more of that. We'd go back and forth till I got what I wanted from them. So then I would do when I had all the tracks where I wanted them. I would do a rough mix,
mm-hmm.
and it sounded pretty good as a demo and a nice mix. And I sent all the tracks with no effects on it, the raw tracks, to Larry Millis, who mm-hmm. is
okay.
Jim Peterick's guy
yeah.
at
right.
his studio.
Yeah.
And Larry's a dear friend, and he's a very talented guy. And so he took all the tracks, he mixed it, mastered it,
nice,
and then sent it back to me, and it sounded like a record when he was done
yeah.
with it, you know. So well, it's, you know, that's how we did it.
One of the tracks from Carl Giamorisi's new album,
Easy Lover.
Carl, obviously you're not singing solo on that one, so you want to explain what was going on?
Well, his name is Dave Mikulskis. It took me a little while to get
yes.
his name right too, you know, but you know, hey, I don't have an easy name either to say. But Dave is a very talented Chicago musician who plays in a group that plays all around Chicago, High End Fidelity, I mm-hmm. think it's mm-hmm. called. And I, like I mentioned, I met him through Lisa McClowry, and we got to talking, and I asked him if he would do some songs with me. And he's singing harmony on this song, Monday Morning. That's him mm-hmm. you know, harmonizing with me. And there was a couple other things, too, that he did with me. But he's a very talented singer. He's, what a range.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic vocal range, you know.
Well, what a great choice of songs, the Phil Collins, Easy Lover.
Well, we were, when, you know, he actually approached me with doing that song, Dave did. And at first he played me a track with the, you know, if you remember the Phil Collins drum.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Collins is a great drummer, slamming drums, you know. And I says, well, you know, I don't think people need to hear that again. Why don't mm-hmm. we approach it differently? And we'll do like a more acoustic, laid-back version of it with some a little bit of percussion in there. And
mm-hmm.
I played bass on there, which I did on the whole album. I'll do the guitar, and he did some of the organ. There's a little bit of organ in there too.
Mm.
And we did the two-part vocals, and that was it. And it came out great because we gave it. If you know, I just feel if you're gonna cover a song that was mm-hmm. a big hit like that, you need to do something different. You know, give it a different feel.
Well, I love your guitar.
I was going to say, yeah, the guitar is wonderful on that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's that nylon string classical Taylor guitar. You know,
well, speaking of the Taylor guitar, Carl is sitting there with his Taylor guitar in his lap, so I think we should probably shut up. And what would you like to do?
How about a Buckingham song? You know, is that appropriate to do?
Yes.
Do, mm-hmm. How about "Don't You Care"?
You know, please.
You know, I'm once again. I'm. You know, I don't get to play guitar much. On you know, I play when we do our long show. I may be playing about five songs, and because I'm up in front singing, I don't really play guitar on any of the hits anymore. So it's a treat when I can. If I can, hope I can remember this now. Let's see if I can get it. If you don't love me, why don't you tell me? Instead of running around with all the other guys in town, can't you see you're hurting me? Don't you care? Don't you care? If you don't want me, why don't you tell me? Instead of telling lies and making me cry, can't you see you are hurting me? Don't you care? Don't you care? Times we cried and laughed. I wanna know if you ever love me again. Will I find out that this is the end? Don't you care? You'd believe me, then why'd you ever leave me? I'm standing here all alone without a girl of my own. Can't you see you're hurting me? Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? Something like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a real treat.
That
I liked
was really...
I was afraid you weren't going to do the humming part. I was going, oh come on.
The mama baby
Yes.
part? I almost didn't.
Oh.
It was like, all of a sudden.
I hope you looked at me. I was like, yes. Oh, man.
Great song. My favorite Buckingham.
Oh.
Can we impose upon you for a few more minutes? We have to take a break.
Yeah.
And,
and I'm going to guess that you've done that at least a million times. Don't you think? At least.
Yeah, it has to be at least a million, you know. I would say so.
Just a couple more minutes with Carl Giamorisi. And there are so many things we want to cover with Carl.
Yes.
Including some of the places where you can see Carl performing.
Right. Mm-hmm. On September 5th at Roscoe Village. They have a great festival in Roscoe Village, and the Buckinghams will be there. 8:30, that's a Friday night. That's my birthday. Steve, you said, where do you want to go for your
Happy
birthday?
Birthday?
Now
to
I'm thinking.
You.
Thank you. Then you're going off on an Alaskan cruise.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
You've we've done never, cruises, but
we've
not.
We've done Caribbean cruises. You know, we have another one later in the year, the Flower Power Cruise. Mm-hmm. It's a great Caribbean cruise. But this is an opportunity to do something different. We're going to be on it for a week and travels through a lot of really cool places.
Yeah.
Alaska, you know. I guess I don't even know how to dress for this. I don't know what the weather is going to be
well,
like.
Well, yeah, because that's going to be September. So you better Google it. You may need to take a parka. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're also going to be on that cruise with a guy we talked about just the other day. We were talking about the Archies And Ron Dante.
Yeah, Ronnie Dante.
He's going to be on that cruise.
You know, what a sweetheart of a guy. I got to tell you, that guy, Nick and I have been on 7 of the 15 years the Happy Togethers tour has been around. And he's been doing that tour for almost as long, for a long time. And the guy is just very talented to begin with.
Yes.
But I mean, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met, really.
Well, the Box Tops, Brian Hyland, Badfinger, Ron Dante, and the Buckinghams,
right,
which is pretty cool. So that's going to be in September. And then these guys are really busy because they're going to be in your neighborhood, I promise you. They're going to be out in Sandwich on the 27th of September at the Sandwich Opera House. Mm-hmm. And that's a 7:30 show. And then the next night, the Cornerstones of Rock will be out at the Arcata.
Yeah, we'll be there with Jim Peterick, The Ides of March, Crying Shames, New Colony 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is we love the Arcata.
Yeah.
That's a great venue.
Maybe you guys can make it out.
Well, the crowd, they come to listen. We were talking off the air about how we all miss the Star Plaza in Merrillville. And the Buckinghams are like the longest running act.
Over 30 years, I was reminded. Every year we played there.
Wow.
And what a great venue it was to play.
Yeah.
It was always a great audience and fun show. And I miss it.
Great acoustics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It always sounded good, yeah.
Well, thank goodness we have Ron Onesti, who's doing things like saying, here's the Arcata, here's the Desplaines Theater, so come on out.
Yeah.
Then you guys are going to go do New York, Schenectady, New York, and then on the 22nd of November, just before Thanksgiving, you're going to be at the Franklin Theater in Franklin Tennessee.
Theater. Right.
Very cool. Have you played there?
No, this will be my first time. Outside of Nashville.
We love Franklin, Tennessee. It's roughly 18 miles south of Nashville. It's a historic Civil War town.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful town.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that one. You know, there's another Cornerstone, too.
In November.
In November, we're doing.
November 29th, so that would be after Thanksgiving, 8 o'clock, November 29th, and that Cornerstones of Rock will be at the Desplaines Theater. And, again, you can follow these guys. You mentioned the Flower Power Cruise. That comes up on March 28th. That's the time to go on a Caribbean cruise. You're no dummy.
Yeah. That's a biggie, too. That's a great cruise to be on.
And that one is on March 28th. And Celebrity Silhouette. That's what it says.
I don't know. I haven't even really looked at that.
So there must be a bunch of surprise guests on the Flower Power cruise.
I'm not sure. But that's going to be a fun one.
But you can follow Carl and the Buckinghams at thebuckinghams.com. Mm-hmm. And yes, as Carl said, you can get their swag when you come out to the concert. So if you're going to be at the Arcata or the Desplaines Theater, you can get Carl's new album. You can get the Buckinghams t-shirts and all that fun stuff.
Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. You've been nice enough to do some of the songs from your album and some Buckinghams. When you get home, when it's just you and you pull out the guitar, what do you start playing? I want to hear that.
When I start playing, I don't know what do I play.
You just noodle.
Well, I hate to keep bringing up the Beatles, but I was such a big Beatles.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, there was a song, I think it was on the Beatles' White Album. Was that 1968, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Was it? And there was a song that Paul McCartney did song was Blackbird, and all us guitar players wanted to know how to play that song. I mean, we had to learn that, and it's that's basically the lick, Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Enough of that one.
That's nice. And that's one of those recognizable guitar licks. You just know when it's done right. That's Blackbird.
It's the bridge. I'm trying to remember all this. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird.
bird fly into the line of the dark black night.
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Real
anyway,
quick, Doug wants to know, is there any place online to find a history of the Buckinghams' appearances in the 60s? He's specifically wondering if the Buckinghams played Galesburg back in the 60s.
We did. I remember Galesburg.
Do you?
Yeah. I remember playing there, but I really have no idea where you could
That's
find
That's all the, Doug the needed set. To know, though, because I think he was telling someone, I saw the Buckinghams in the 60s in Galesburg, and they're going, no.
Yeah.
You've made Doug's night.
Yes.
Mm. I have to say, one of the things that I always felt the Buckinghams never got credit for, Chicago, blood, sweat, and tears, yada, 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 the Buckinghams were really predicting the whole horn thing in rock groups.
Well, you know... We weren't at the beginning. I mean, we weren't a horn band, and our producer, when we started recording finally on the USA label, our producer Dan Belloc, Dan, you know, owned the Holiday Ballroom, and he had a big band, and he suggested that we put horns to some of the tracks. You know, we didn't. So his trombone player. I still remember him, Frank Tazinski. Unfortunately, he's passed away a couple years ago. I can't remember, but we used to keep in touch. I always used to try to get him to come out and join us on a show, but he always he just didn't want to do it, you know. But anyway, so he wrote the arrangements, like for Kind of a Drag, for I'll Go Crazy, and that's kind of why it was kind of trombone heavy, the arrangements, because he was a trombone player. And we definitely started that sound, you know, which
because it stood out.
Our producer Jim Guercio continued that sound with "Don't You Care" and "Hey Baby" and "Mercy, Mercy, Mercy" and so forth. And then he went on with Chicago. You know, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit mentioning what we were talking earlier about Peter Cetera in Chicago and. And, you know, we used to come back in 67. We always talk about this on stage, how we used to go to a club when we'd come back in town called Barnaby's.
Oh, sure.
And Chicago weren't Chicago yet. They were
the big thing.
And we thought they were fantastic back then, you know, not only as a cover band, but when they were doing their original stuff. And we kept pushing Jim Guercio to come in and hear them. And he kind of ignored us for a while, but eventually he did come in and took him out to L.A. and, you know.
Yeah. And the rest is history.
The rest is history, Chicago. Wow. So, you know, I don't know if we really had, but I like to think we had a little something.
I think you had a whole lot to do with it.
But that was cool.
We are only going to let you out of here if you're going to promise you're going to come back.
Oh, please. Have
Thank
me back
you.
Anytime.
Thank
I,
you so
I
much.
I love doing this. I, you know, it's a real treat.
Well,
know?
It's a treat for
I,
us.
I want to thank Susan Rikus for driving me down here tonight.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
She traveled Lower Wacker.
She tried doing that, you know, sometime.
That's a good friend.
I'm glad I didn't have to do it myself because I'd still be driving around down there.
Like Ronnie Rice has done many times.
Oh, yeah.
He calls us because I'm lost. Thank you, Carl Jimmy Ricci. It's so nice to have you in here.
Thank you both so much.
Carl's new album.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Back at you.
Let the Music Play is his new album. Coming up, we will have our shout-outs, because last week I said I couldn't do the shout-outs because I had one good eye. That's all I had, one good eye.
Well, and also, we just ran out of time last week.
We did, but remember I said, let's not try to squeeze it in, because I had the 120-20 eye and the 2500 eye, and then on Monday... I had my left eye done, and it's amazing. You're still
recovering.
Yes, I'm in the healing process, so lights are still kind of too much. Not like these are not bothering me now, but if I were to walk out on a sunny day, I'm like, I'm melting. So that's going to change. I also had multifocal lenses put in my eyes.
Right.
So this is the first time in over 60 years that I can be without glasses. So what do I do?
You wore some great glasses.
I got
no prescription in them.
Non-prescription glasses so that I could wear my goofy toppers to my eyeglasses. For anybody out there who's seen videos pop up all the time of these people with pair eyeglasses, P-A-I-R. So they're glasses that have little magnets in the corner, and you buy these toppers that you put on them, and they're just magical. And you can put your sunglasses on your topper as a topper. Or I have, every holiday, I have toppers. So when I got my eyes done, I said, wait, I'll not be able to wear all my fun Halloween glasses and my Christmas glasses and my Valentine's glasses.
But when this show is podcast, you will see Johnny with one of her toppers in the picture we took
with
Carl Giamarisi.
And I'm wearing my Mickey Mouse toppers tonight because they're black and white, and we're dressed in black and white. And so anyway, that's the goofy side of me.
That's the goofy side of
you? Yes, that is the only goofy side of me. I get new eyes, and what do? I go out and buy glasses so that I can wear my cool toppers. I actually thought about selling them on Marketplace. I thought, I could put these on Marketplace and see if somebody out there would like to buy them. And I thought, No. I love these. For anybody who's interested, because they're so much fun, the toppers run you about $20 each. And after you've bought a certain number of them, they give you free ones. So, yeah, I went kind of crazy over the past few years and didn't want to get rid of them.
You mean you went goofy?
Hey, you know my goofy story.
I love your goofy laugh, though.
That sound you hear should be me slapping Julian, but that's not me, and that's not me slapping Julian.
Worth it.
So we're going to get to some shout-outs. I'm going to start with some of the shout-outs to some of the countries that are nice enough to check out our blog. And if you haven't checked out our blog, we would appreciate it if you did. Just go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And some of the countries, boy, we got a bunch of them this week. United States, India, Sweden, Singapore, Denmark, Poland, Japan, United Kingdom, Belgium, Philippines, Ireland, Gibraltar, France, and Australia. Those are the countries that have been checking out our blog this week, and thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
What you hear is me shaking my head. That rattling you hear is going, what? What? How does Gibraltar come
I
by
have
us?
No idea. I love it.
That's wonderful. Well, we have a whole bunch of people that checked in, and we love the fact that you took the time to check in. The best friend of this radio show and this radio station, Chuck Snitchler, is listening in Hobart tonight, Hobart, Indiana. Don Selke is listening in Phoenix, Arizona. I believe that we might meet Don next week, because Don is a radio dude, and he's going to be in town next week. So more on that next week. Jean Couture is listening in Warren, Michigan. John has a great story to tell. He says he's listening on iHeartRadio from Warren, Michigan. And class started this week at my community college. I'm taking anthropology class right now. In October, I'll start Michigan history.
Wow.
I have 40 credits so far because I've been taking classes since the pandemic, but I was short on my high school diploma, which my academic counselor helped me achieve this past summer. Thank you, everyone.
Well, cool.
Yeah, John, it's nice to hear about your wonderful progress. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park listening on her old time clock radio. And Mary, we sound better on those old time clock radios.
We do.
Yes. Especially if they have
the older, the better.
Yes. Debbie Tusick is one of our newer listeners, and she's out in Sandwich listening on her phone. Roy Phillips, good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, I should be on board at least for the first few hours. Well, thank you, Roy.
Us too.
I hope you're still with us. From Denton, Texas, Rita Reagy. Richard Ward is one of the Chase twins, and he's listening to us from Troy, Missouri. Eric Baum also listening tonight, and he puts up those wonderful pictures from Maine, from Wells Beach, Maine. He said, today's picture and you'll see it on our Facebook page, is the Wells Beach Ocean Rescue Team out practicing since Hurricane Aaron closed down because of 10-foot waves. The beaches were closed. And he said, I really feel sorry for folks who are vacationing here because they can't get in the water. Of course, there's always those hard-headed folks that go, well, I can do it. Yeah, so we know that from our experience down in the panhandle of Florida. Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis. Mark Schroeder is in Neenah, Wisconsin. Peggy Slater-Schick is in Tavares, Florida. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Deb Scott and her mama are listening tonight. Of course, her mama is Alice. And I'd like to thank you all who sent a card for Alice when we had her on the radio a couple of weeks ago to celebrate her birthday. Brian Lefevre, thank goodness someone is listening in Chicago. He's listening from the beautiful city of Chicago. Thank you, Brian, for tuning in. Gloria Hickey, she says that she met Carl Giammarisi in a Steak and Shake in Hoffman Estates 25 years ago, and I go see the Buckinghams whenever they play locally. I love their music. Paul Osha is listening in Plant City, Florida, and I can't hear of Plant City without thinking of Bob Collins.
Yeah.
His old stomping grounds. Gene Jacobson's in Milwaukee, Lloyd Moncrief in Ottawa. Christine Failing is listening on her CC Crane 3 out in Plainfield. Peter Jakubowicz is listening on his CC Radio 2E in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Michelle Fairfield is Mackenzie, Tennessee. Thank you, Tennessee, for checking in. Ron Anderson's in Louisville, Kentucky. Roger Camp is listening in Shade, Ohio. And I think that's the first time Shade, Ohio has checked in. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory. Margo Moore is in Albuquerque. Janice Curatobe is on the northwest side of Chicago. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Susan Marie Schimmel's in Glen Ellen. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Marie Weiss in Plainfield. Kathy Coates, thank you for tuning in from Sterling. Lester Clyden is also listening, and he's got some computer problems he's dealing with. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, and she made us a great one for tonight. She's tuned in. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. Robin Akins in Port Charlotte, Florida. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Jim Smith is listening. Also, Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Bill is in Hobart. Tracy Douglas is, I may have mentioned Tracy in Savannah. Brian is in Lockport. Sherry Hanrahan and her fur babies, Lucy and Desi, are tuned in Romeoville. They missed last week because they were one of the thousands of people that lost power about time we went on the air. Yeah. Tom Fried is in Medina, Illinois. Roger Camp, Nancy Kosick is in South Holland. Marie Weiss is in Plainfield. Also, some people just checked in tonight. This is Rob checking in from Northwest Indiana. Bing Besh. Thank you, Bing, for checking in because you make my night. Bing Besh is listening in Winfield. I'm not making fun of you. I just love saying your name, Bing Besh. David Shine is in Mount Prospect. Also, it looks like Laura and her fur baby Cotton and their friend Dan are tuned in Downers Grove. Sherry's in Bolingbrook. Let's see who else. Ken Fellett and his pup Gus are in Pullman, Michigan. And we had some great feedback about odd food combinations. We might get to those a little bit later on tonight. And let's see, I think I just about knocked everybody out. If I missed you, I'll get you next week.
My mind is triggered by any kind of minutia.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Shade, Ohio?
Yes.
Made me think of a show that I don't know if it has ever been in reruns. Do you remember
Evening Shade with Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds and, who was the fee person?
Mm. Oh, that's interesting because I can see her.
And there were about three, maybe four main cast members. And it only ran for, I want to say, maybe two.
It was pretty popular. I can see her.
But it didn't run that long.
Yeah.
And Reynolds was, I want to say, two, maybe three seasons.
He was
four seasons.
Four seasons.
Okay. 101 episodes. Burt Reynolds, Mary Lou Henner.
Yes. Mary Lou Henner, yes. Mary Lou Henner, who we had on the show before.
Yeah.
Remember the topic she wanted to talk about?
Yes, because she'd just written a book on it.
Yeah, poop. How to analyze your poop.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember words to live by. If your poop floats, you got troubles.
Yep.
That was Mary Lou Henner. That's right.
And yes, the same Mary Lou Henner from Taxi.
Yes, yes, yes. Quickly, let me mention Dan Lewandowski is listening in Wichita Falls, Texas. And Lockport is checking in tonight. And Prairie Grove, PJ and Prairie Grove, Brandon from Rockford, Shar, Dave and Brandon in Rockford, and a bunch of people who really enjoyed hearing Carl tonight on the radio. Brought back some good memories.
Good, good. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk all kinds of computer stuff with Patrick Christman. And we got a lot to get to, talking about the Windows update problem and talking about Windows 10 going away and what some of your options are for Windows 10.
And we will talk about the fact that AOL still exists. And if you know someone using AOL, do not be ageist and wag your finger and say, oh, that's so old. Nobody uses AOL. It's pretty darn safe.
It is one of the more secure email platforms.
We always keep it as our backup because we know it'll be there.
We're talking tech with the man who is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC, and that would be your Dr. Patrick Christman. Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Good, 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 good.
I have to ask because we talked with Patrick a little earlier this week when we were out at my brother's in Munster. And we were sharing temperature readings. What is the temperature in Pasadena even as we speak?
In Pasadena right now, it's about almost 80 degrees. Ooh. However, it was about 100 degrees today.
Yeah. But at least the humidity is low.
Oh, no, it was terrible.
Really? Were you having a bad hair day, Patrick?
Yeah, since I have no hair. But And what was really sad is that Joseph and I were outside most of the morning because we went out to Burbank to play Pokemon Go. There was a major event going on. And we, about 1, 2 o'clock, we said, no, it's just too hot. We're going home.
The boy doesn't like to get hot. When he starts heating up, he says, I'm a microwave. I'm just heating up.
He does not like it.
You might want to share with him that the temperature is, we have our first example of fake fall going on, and temperatures over the overnight temperatures for the next several days may get down into the 50s or 40s, and during the day they're going to be in the 70s. I think it's 57 or 67 or something.
And don't forget that this is not our, quote, fake fall. This is thanks.
So it's a fake fall.
It's thanks to Hurricane Aaron.
It's a pseudo fake fall.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, my head's going to explode. We've got a lot of things to cover with you.
Yes.
Should we start with something that I just mentioned in passing the last time you were on the show? I said, what about this thing called BitChat?
Yeah. Jack Dorsey, if you know him, he's the Twitter co-founder. He basically released this experimental app, and it's a messaging app that allows you to send text messages not over the internet and not over a cellular connection, but over Bluetooth. And the idea is that the messages hop from your phone running BitChat to any other nearby phone also running BitChat. And then those phones then retransmit that message to the next phone running BitChat and on and on. The idea is the messages are encrypted end-to-end, and there's a panic button in there. Kind of think of this as like a walkie-talkie, but for encrypted messages. It works really because it's Bluetooth low energy. It only has a range of a couple hundred meters. But if you have a whole bunch of people in one small area, about 300-500 feet, this could work for you. And it was being touted as a perfect thing for festivals and protests and things like that. I did some digging because you asked me to look into this, and I don't recommend this. It's not ready for prime time. I don't think it ever is going to be ready for prime time. Love Jack Dorsey. I love the stuff that he's doing. BitChat still in beta. Hasn't had a security audit, and actually some of the people I know have tried it out said, you do know that we can actually impersonate each other on this app, which is a bad thing.
Yeah.
The other thing is, You think about Bluetooth. Bluetooth is not the best communication mechanism for sending large messages. You could do audio over it, but messages could take several seconds to go really short distances. And it's going to keep your radio on all the time to relay BitChat messages to other BitChat users around you. Even though it's Bluetooth low energy, if you're in a busy area and there are lots of people sending BitChat messages over and over again, mm-hmm. your phone becomes an antenna for all of them, and your phone could be rebroadcasting hundreds of encrypted messages.
Wow.
So your battery's just going to go and just completely collapse. And the other thing is, if you're in a place that doesn't have cell service, because again, this is a selling point, is it should work if you don't have cell service.
Right.
If you don't have cell service, your phone is going to be trying to ping a cell tower, draining your battery quickly, and it's not going to work.
So if you're hiking, it's not the ideal thing to rely on.
Hiking's going to be terrible because there's no one else within 300 to 500 feet of you. So it's. And by the way, and some people pointed this out, BitChat, BitChat, could be BitChat or BitChat, which I'm sure is entirely coincidental. Mm-hmm. But it's a solution in search of a problem. I don't recommend it. Use WhatsApp, because honestly, the idea that you're at a place that doesn't have good internet or poor signals, like at a festival, that doesn't happen. Festivals like Lollapalooza, they bring in portable cell towers, and they, you know, they have these really massive cell towers there where it's every major vendor is there. If you're off the grid, you truly are off the grid. You don't want to use Bluetooth. You can use satellite messaging, especially if you're on T-Mobile. So BitChat's a great idea, and Jack Dorsey came up with it. So it's like, okay, we're going to pay attention to it. I don't see who it's for. I'm sure it's a great concept. I'm never going to use it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was curious, though, because it took me back to over 30 years ago when we were doing Website Wednesday night, and Neil Schroka, the mm-hmm. WGN kid, was at an Apple event, and he was talking about texting. And I still remember myself saying, well, why wouldn't you just walk across the room and talk to somebody? why would you text them?
That's what he was talking about. Yes. He was on one side of the room, and, I can text.
He was so excited.
I can send a message to this guy on the other side. Why don't you just go over there. Say hello?
So when I heard about BitChat, I thought, okay, don't go there because you're going to flaunt your ignorance if you start talking about why would you do this. So actually, I wasn't so dumb after all, because I thought this just is like an idea whose time has not come.
But also, yes, I'm looking at your show notes, Patrick, and you also point out something really interesting. If you install BitChat and if you're at a protest and thinking that your messages might be really secure, that could be problematic too, couldn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, if there's an overzealous prosecutor and they search your phone and they see that you've installed this app that's specifically for sending encrypted messages in a 300 to 500 foot range, and bad things happen in that 300 to 500 foot range, the overzealous prosecutor could sit there and say, okay, I'm going to charge you with conspiracy because mm-hmm. you planned to do this. Even if you didn't do anything illegal, mm-hmm. it looks bad. So even if you think it's a good idea, honestly, everybody's using WhatsApp right now. Just use WhatsApp.
Okay.
Take that.
Yeah.
All right.
We're getting a lot of interesting messages coming in, too.
Patrick, I just sent you a message asking you if you've ever heard of Coco Robotics or Coco Robots.
No, I haven't.
Apparently, they're in Los Angeles, and a listener says they are hot pink with wheels and sensors, and they roll on those wheels. They walk around people on sidewalks, and they stop at streetlights. I've seen one. I saw one today, Diversity onto Sheridan Road going southbound, just cruising along the long street. He said, I've seen them around for a while. I saw one on Broadway heading onto Belmont past a Walgreens. But apparently no one seems to believe this person.
Actually, I have not seen Coco, but I have seen other competing companies that are all over the west side of Los Angeles. Yes, I have seen these robots that are delivery robots mm-hmm. that are used for like DoorDash and things like that, where in a very densely populated area, you can have your food put into this little box and then it will drive it to your front door, you know, within a mile or two. Mm-hmm.
In fact, Patrick, we were riding with you and
in Santa Monica.
Yeah. And we were driving back and I have a picture if I can find it. We saw one of these little things. It was on the corner right outside the store, and it was basically a DoorDash robot.
Yep.
And how?
Well, I appreciate the listener sending a picture because it's a hot pink box. It's hard to miss it.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's going around people and such, but his text implies that no one believes him when he tells them that he's seen this hot pink box on wheels.
Wait until he sees the cars that don't have drivers.
Yeah. Yeah, those are coming to Chicago, too. Okay, where do we go next? We want to talk about Chromebook antivirus?
Yeah, let's actually do this. And one of the things, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about it last week, but a caller had called in last week and said, what's the best antivirus for Chromebooks? And I said, I'd talk about it this week. And the answer is, you don't need an antivirus, but don't stop. There's more. Basically, Chromebooks have sandboxing so that each app that runs on it can't actually get out and go do things on the Chromebook. There's verified boot, so it's checking the operating system to make sure that there's nothing bad happening on it. Automatic update, so you don't need an antivirus on Chromebook. But Chromebooks are not immune to phishing or malicious extensions or unsafe downloads or you doing something stupid. Mm-hmm. So while you and I have to have antiviruses on Windows and Macs to protect us, the antivirus you get isn't actually about doing the sort of antivirus stuff you do on a Mac and a PC. It's about sort of safe browsing and identity protection that would be put on a Chromebook to kind of lock down Chromebook even more to protect you from you. Mm-hmm. So Google Safe Browsing is built into it. If you try to go to a website that in a Chromebook that has bad that Google knows about, it's going to warn you. I do recommend Malwarebytes Browser Guard. It's a free Chrome extension. You put it in and it blocks phishing and tracking. It's additional sort of belts and suspenders approach. There's also Bitdefender Traffic Light or even Avira Browser Safety that are going to flag any sort of dangerous links. And if you are a NordVPN subscriber, NordVPN Threat Protector Lite or something similar can actually block trackers or suspicious domains before you even go to those sites. So you don't need an antivirus, but you need to go and add some extra bells and whistles to Chrome to kind of provide you a little more protection against phishing, malware extensions, and unsafe downloads.
Okay, when we've talked about antiviruses, we have said, at least with Windows machines, you don't want more than one.
Right.
Does that hold true for Chromebooks? So, for
Chromebooks,
example,
you don't need any antivirus, but these are going to be browser extensions.
Okay, so you can, in fact, use Malwarebytes Browser Guard along with Bitdefender and NordVPN.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because these are not software programs that are running on Chrome. These are browser extensions you're putting into Chrome software, the Chrome Chrome browser.
Okay.
Yep.
and by the way, don't worry if you're glazing over at any of this. Do not worry about writing it down. All of Patrick's show notes will magically pop up on our blog within the next 48 hours. And again, the address for the magic blog is stevenjohnny.wordpress.com. So don't worry about writing stuff down. Just listen or text us or call or whatever, and you will find all of Patrick's notes on our blog.
And another topic that was we brought up a couple of weeks ago was getting ready to go back to school, getting a new computer. What can you get that you feel like is going to be usable for X number of years?
Absolutely. And this actually was because a caller called in and said, I bought a computer in 2017. Right. I thought it was going to be future ready and it can't run Windows 11 and I'm frustrated. I feel you, but it's actually because there, and we'll talk more about this after the break, but honestly, what you should be looking at doing is every 4 to 6 years for a desktop, 3 to 5 years for a laptop, you want to be looking for a new computer for the desktops. You want to be looking for any of the 13th or 14th generation Intel chips. These are the Intel Core i5, 7, 9. These are called the Raptor Lake chips. Any of those are really good. Anything in the AMZ Ryzen 5 or 7 or 7000 series are going to be good. Fantastic for your desktops. If you're going back to school and looking for something, honestly, if you're going to get an Intel, look for something called Intel Core Ultra. We talked about this on the air before. These are the Meteor Lake and Lunar Lake chips. If this doesn't make any sense, don't worry. I wrote it down for you. But these are the former, these are based on mobile chip that are in like your cell phones and things like that. So these are really, really good at saving power, but are very, very powerful. On the AMD side, the AMD Ryzen 7, anything in the Apple M series, the M2 or later or better, anything in the Qualcomm Snapdragon chips. Beware, because there are some manufacturers out there that are still selling very old pre-10th generation Intel chips. Those are garbage. I wouldn't touch it. There are still companies out there selling Intel Celeron. I can't believe that. Or Pentium. And it's like, come on. These are, you know, any of the old AMD Athlon or Ryzen 3000 series isn't going to work. You need to have 16 gigs of RAM. You want to have about 256 gigs solid state. And for the ports and connectivity, USB-C. USB-A, if you have some older things that you need to plug in. If not, you can get an adapter and dongle. Thunderbolt, HDMI, or DisplayPort. And then you want to look for something called Wi-Fi 6 or 7. What brand should you get? Sure. Pick whatever fits. Honestly, laptops have gotten and desktops have gotten so good. There is very little difference between them. Yes, there are some. By the way, if you're looking for college, check your campus bookstore. Apple also offers a 10% discount if you go through the Apple store, sometimes for freebies. But if you're going through college, your campus bookstore might have special deals for you.
So is this a case of you don't want to be shopping price? Because if you're shopping, it's a steal. You might be getting something old like a Celeron or a Pentium.
Yeah, or anything too cheap to be true. You should sit there and go, no. I mean, you'll know your price range. You want to get something within your price range. Mm-hmm.
And I say this as someone who has for years predominantly been a Windows user. Take a look at the Mac Air. Oh, yeah. Boy, are these wonderful laptops. So we bought one, loved it, and bought a second one. We have one in Florida, one here. They are probably the best laptops I've ever seen.
Yeah, great battery life, light, easy to carry around.
There's a real interesting Intel chip story that just broke, I want to say, within the past 24 hours. And it has to do with the U.S. government
taking a 10% stake in Intel. And a listener says, Patrick, do you think Apple will follow suit?
No, I don't. Here's what's going on. Intel has some problems. Intel, unfortunately, just hasn't been able to keep up with Taiwan Semiconductor and NVIDIA. And they've got they've kind of lost the AI race. They've got poor yields on the chips that they're making in their fabrication, the foundry side of it. Intel's having problems. Intel used to be the 800-pound gorilla. It just isn't anymore. Add to that that Intel actually was given money, and along with a whole bunch of other companies, through the 2022 CHIPS Act. And there was about $8.9 billion that Intel was promised as under the CHIPS Act that had not been paid to them yet. And the Trump administration said, okay, what we'll do is instead of giving you this grant for $8.9 billion, we're going to convert that into equity. In other words, I want 10% non-voting shares in Intel. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is too little, too late, because I've got going concerns about Intel. I'm not sure that this is a great deal, and we can get into the whole, is this socialism or what, or not. Intel needs help. This is the government kind of bailing them out. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure what I think about this.
Does it is it on paper? Is it a move to level the AI playing field? And maybe
And that's the thing, is it doesn't really level the AI playing field, because TSMC and NVIDIA still dominate the playing field. Hmm. And Intel really does need new leadership, and they need to, I hope they can get back into the game, but they're just not the chip manufacturer they used to be. And I think this may be, you know, shoring up a dying company, mm-hmm. instead of what we did when, you know, last time the government came in and they shored up the auto industry.
That's exactly
this isn't
what
shoring
I was
up the
say.
Industry. This is shoring up a one company. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think the, you know, I've got my bachelor's degree in economics, and I'm kind of a big believer in the market speaks, and the market has kind of said Intel isn't a Taiwan semiconductor. Intel surely isn't NVIDIA. And even Intel has said, yeah, we just can't compete with NVIDIA right now. And so, I'm not sure there's a way to around that.
But and again, as you said at the outset, Intel was the 800-pound gorilla.
Oh, forever.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a ton of things we could get into. What really caused this? Because they were so big. And then you looked at Intel and you thought, oh, they're going to be around forever. But not so
part,
much.
Part of it was just Jensen Huang, who is the CEO of NVIDIA a couple years ago, just said, you know what? We're going to bet everything on AI. And we think that AI is going to be the future. And they bet like everything on it. And it turned out to be the right bet. And Intel wasn't even playing the game.
Hmm. So this is a great deal for Intel, though, right?
I don't know. And that's the thing. I'm not even sure this is legal. But
and there are a lot of people asking that question.
Yeah.
Because, again, it was promised to them just here's mm-hmm. we're giving you this grant as part of the CHIPS Act.
Right.
And the argument has been said there's nothing in the CHIPS Act that says this is illegal to do. But I'm not sure that should be the measuring stick we have. But usually when a company is given a grant, it's like, okay, go, here's your money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't have extra strings attached to it like this. We'll see. This might mm-hmm. be a good idea. This might not be a good idea. I want to hear from the lawyers and the bankers and see what they say.
Interesting.
Yeah, we may want to revisit this in 2 weeks because there's a whole lot of investigation that will be done over the next 2 weeks. Okay, bunch of things to get to. We mentioned earlier, and we've had some people chagrined, AOL dial-up going away.
And wait, let me say, as I said earlier, if you know someone using AOL, do not be ageist and wag your finger at them and say, only old people use AOL. Stop it.
AOL, and this personal opinion, we have at this point, we have about 6 or 7 different email accounts from different sources. One of the most secure is AOL. So that's AOL, but AOL dial-up, separate question.
That's it. So the trick question that we would ask is, when did AOL turn off its modems? When did they stop allowing people to dial in and, you know, hey, hang up the phone, I need to connect to the internet? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Exactly. That's it. That's our sound.
Yeah.
And the answer is, it's a trick question. AOL hasn't turned off their modems yet. Shocking. I thought they did 20 years ago. On September 30th, 2025, AOL is finally disconnecting its dial-up internet service. Listen carefully. This is not going to affect anything else with AOL. Your AOL email continues to work. Your AOL browsers, if you have one, continue to work. Anything that you have on your AOL plan, those still work. It's just you can no longer use your modem to connect to AOL.
I'm
come
laughing.
The 30th. Yeah.
So if you are the one house on the block that only has dial-up, doesn't have any other kind of internet source, this is bad for you.
But
this is bad news.
Wait, you guys. Yeah. Engineer Bob pointed out, if you live in a rural area, sometimes this is the only way you can dial in or get online. And I hadn't even considered that.
It's actually now satellite is the next thing to look at. You've got Starlink with satellite. You've got T-Mobile, which is going to be rolling out satellite. They've already started on cellular, and you might be able to hotspot onto your cellular on T-Mobile. Expect to see more and more. So I think the idea of having to use a telephone twisted pair connection to get to
you
the
have
internet.
A hard time saying AOL. I can tell it's like
Yeah, I actually had an AOL account that was
given
to me because I had a friend of mine when I was working at Space Camp who went on to work at AOL and hooked me up.
What wasn't that one of the real big pitches for Starlink, that in the most obscure non-technical area you can think of, Starlink will be able to give you internet connectivity?
Yeah, it is. It's actually fantastic. It's just kind of expensive. But if you're in the middle of nowhere and have no choice, this is a good option for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I feel like every time Patrick was saying AOL, he's going, oh.
It's been so long.
And I got to tell you, I go to AOL News every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's still, and that's not going anywhere.
Thank you. Oh, good.
Speaking of, just before we take a break, speaking of things going away, Windows 10 support going away in less than 2 months.
Right.
What do we need to know? What do we need to do?
I actually have a whole bunch of things that we put in the show notes on this. Microsoft basically will support an operating system for about 10 years and then stop. Windows 10 came out back in 2015. So guess what? Time's up. Microsoft on October 14th, 2025, they are going to stop support for Windows 10. After that date, Windows 10 will keep working. I'm going to say this again. Windows 10 will keep working. It's not going to stop working. It will keep working. But Microsoft is no longer going to provide any sort of technical support or security reliability fixes. If you can, look at installing Windows 11 on your current PC. You can go, and I've got it in the show notes and how to check to see if your computer is can do it. If you have a PC from 2018 or earlier, yeah, it's not going to be able to do it, and you might be stuck. There are some hacks that can do it, but I wouldn't recommend it. You really have to move on to option two, which is you can either pay Microsoft to get another year of Windows 10 support. So while I say Windows 10 support goes away in October, you can pay $30 a year to get another year of support. And by the way, there is a way, and I'll put a link in the show notes, on you could use Microsoft Reward Points by using Bing and Windows Backup to get that for free. It's $30 for the first year, and then expect the price to go up after that. Or you can look at buying a new or used Windows 11 PC. You can also, if you feel adventurous, you can rent a Windows PC, Windows Virtual PC, called Windows 365, but that's $31 a month. Last option is do nothing and hope for the best. It's profoundly dangerous not to do something and allow Windows 10 to run on your computer unpatched, because there are going to be exploits, and the hackers are then going to use that to break into your computer, steal your data, basically turn your computer into a brick. Think doing nothing is like driving a car and never checking your brakes. You can get away with it for a while until you can't, and then you crash and it gets really, really bad. The other option is you can ditch Windows altogether and go to Linux or Chrome OS or, well, even buy a Mac. But do not wait until December to decide. Start planning now. You have until October 14th when Windows 10 is just going to support goes away. Windows 10 will keep working. You just won't get any more updates.
Patrick, a listener, Ken, from 847 area code says, how do I find out what version of Windows I'm running?
Easiest way to do it, go to Start, Settings, System, and then click About. The way I usually do it, though, is the old school DOS way, is hit the Windows key and the R for run. So Windows key and R, and then type in W-I-N-V-E-R. That's WinVer, as in Windows version. So Windows key, letter R, and then type W-I-N-V-E-R, hit enter. It tells you what version you have.
Okay, I just want to spend a minute talking about this warning that I received last week in bold letters. Windows updates causing major issues. Do not install Windows updates. These updates are reportedly corrupting large data files. And if already installed, roll back and uninstall these. Now, what I found interesting was this was so attention-getting. The people who commented under this warning said, well, then I'm going to keep Windows 10 because I don't do any business on my computer. I just do emails and shopping and things like that. And I thought, what?
Yep.
So now they've been frightened away from updating. And what do you say to this?
Yeah, first of all, there's a difference between Windows updates and Windows upgrades. Windows 10 to Windows 11 is an upgrade, not an update. Windows updates are when Microsoft realizes that there is some sort of vulnerability and patches that vulnerability. Back on August 12th, Microsoft released their monthly Patch Tuesday patch, and it turns out that some users were reporting that their storage drives were vanishing and maybe even having data corruption. But this turned out to be edge cases because it was really people who were writing really, really, really absurdly large files, like 50 gigabyte individual files, or extracting like 200 things at the same time where their hard drives were 60% full. Microsoft actually looks into this. They have telemetry that sees all of the business computers that are that have Windows. And they're not seeing this in their telemetry, and they haven't received a lot of widespread user support calls on this, but they are investigating. That said, this Windows, the August 12th Windows update patch, or Microsoft update patch, also broke the Windows recovery features, which is sort of reset this PC or fix problems using Windows update on certain versions of Windows, but Microsoft did an out-of-band emergency patch upgrade. They fixed that. Should you disable this updates and listen to the folks on Nextdoor? First of all, never listen to anybody on Nextdoor. Second of all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because, oh my. No. Installing updates protects you. There is a nuance. If you're handling regularly huge files on near full drives, there might be a risk. But you and me, not going to be a problem. If you are like at a data center handling huge files, delay the updates, but you already did delay it because there's no enterprise that's going to get the patch update immediately. Always keep your backups. With whatever you do, you always want to make sure you have a copy of your files. We talked about it on the air before, called the 3-2-1 rule. Every file on your computer, there should be three copies of it. There should be the original file, and then a backup and a backup of the backup. So the 3-2-1 is three copies of a file in two different locations, and one of those locations should be offsite. So if your house burns down, there's a tornado comes along, somebody breaks into your house, then you have an online backup of it. If you're going to be writing lots of files, do it in small batches. This isn't a reason to panic.
But the key here is, and again, I'm so frustrated with all of the people who commented on this warning. They said, well, then I'm not upgrading to Windows 11. And the warning was for an update. And the guy that posted this does not go back and tell them there's a difference. He's simply saying, oh, yes, well, I use Windows 11 and it's for heavy users. So you really need to back off. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So if you see this coming to you as a warning, again, it's not.
There's
the
a problem.
Same.
Be aware, it's not going to affect 99.9999% of us.
Right.
For those who do get bit by this, this is bad. But again, if you've got backups, you can do restore.
Okay. In the final few minutes,
we want to get to This Week in Hacking.
So, if you are a subscriber for Alliance Life Insurance, not Alliance, the big company, but Alliance Life, which is the Alliance, by the way, is A-L-L-I-N-Z, Alliance Life, they got hacked. And your personal data may have been stolen. Back on July 16th, it looks like cyber attackers got into Alliance's customer relationships database, in other words, their Salesforce database, through social engineering, which is what we talked about. Somebody called up somebody from Salesforce and says, all right, somebody called up Alliance and said, hey, I'm from Salesforce. I need to install something so that we can test something. And the bad guys then got into the system, stole names, date of birth, mailing addresses, social security numbers. If you are impacted by this, Alliance should have already reached out to you. This breach, key point, is Alliance Life, not the entire Alliance group, which has about 125 million people. It's about 1.4 million people with Alliance Life. But if you're an Alliance Life customer, or, well, be honest, even if you aren't, it's now a good time to freeze your credit report and just be wary of phishing emails or voice phishing phone scams. Your personal information, scammers have it. You just have to know this right now. And they're going to try to use that to get you to do bad things. If you get a call from Google, it's a fake call. If you get a call from Microsoft, it's a fake call. If you get a call from Apple, it's a fake call. If you get a call from the IRS, it's a fake call. They don't call you. It's going to be bad guys or somebody saying, hi, we're from the Sheriff's Department. We have a warrant out for your arrest. And we know the last four digits of Social Security number are, and they have it and it's correct. It's because they have that information that's from public data now. It's just out there in breaches.
Yep.
People are going to try to trick you. Know who is and who isn't going to contact you. And if you really are concerned and somebody contacts you and says, well, you know, we have this. It's like, okay, well, hang up. I'm going to go look up your telephone number and I'll contact your switchboard and see if that works.
Again, if you have glazed over at all this, don't worry. Patrick's show notes will be on our blog within the next 48 hours.
And Patrick, real quick, when you join us in 2 weeks, let's talk about iPhones. And I'd like you to look into Incognito. A couple of our listeners have asked about that.
Sure. So,
thank you. We really appreciate it. So apparently, Neil Young had read or heard that Meta or Facebook allegedly enabled AI chatbots to engage in romantic and sensual ways with minors. And when he heard about that, he said, that's it. I don't want to have anything to do with Facebook. His Facebook page last week stated, at Neil Young's request, we are no longer using Facebook for any Neil Young-related activities. Meta's use of chatbots with children is unconscionable. Mr. Young does not want a further connection with Facebook.
Has it? Well, I trust Neil Young. I hope that he vetted this. Do we know that that is, in fact, an accurate statement? Would it surprise me that Meta did this? No. Do I know, in fact, that it is fact? No, I don't.
I did not hear of that, and I found it interesting because I found his page on Instagram, which is also Meta.
Yep.
So, you know, God bless him. Remember when he left Spotify?
Yeah.
Because he said it's just not treating singers and songwriters fairly.
We need to run this by Patrick.
Yes.
And see if he can vet the story. Again, I trust Neil Young. I would like to make sure that this has been vetted. And again, I emphasize to everybody, when you see this story, even if it is from the most reliable source, if it is a kind of a controversial story mm-hmm. like this, you got to do a little bit of digging, because even the most trustworthy people can fall prey to something that looks like it comes from the right source, but you got to do a bit of digging.
Well, all I could find was Reuters released a report that exposed questionable findings in an internal Meta platform document compiling the company's AI and chatbot policies. Included in those policies were permissions for chatbots to, quote, engage a child in conversations that are romantic or sensual. And that's why he used the words romantic and sensual.
Reuters, too.
And the news agency also reported that Meta's chatbots were free to generate false medical information, as well as help users build arguments for overtly racist statements, such as black people are dumber than white people. When pressed for comments, a spokesperson for the tech giant told Reuters the document has undergone revisions to remove the policies allowing for inappropriate dialogue with kids.
And my question would be, why the hell were they put there in the first place?
And if you knew it was there, why did you let it slide to the point where an investigation had to be done by Reuters?
And again, these are some of the many reasons we're asking you to, because we have thousands of people who follow us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're asking you to kind of segue with us over to our blog, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, or check us out on Blue Sky, steveandjohnny.bluesky.social, because we get a lot of interaction from some of the Meta platforms, but do we think we're going to be there forever?
No.
It is time once again for Sports Between the Sheets, and we come to Gabe's attention with our hats in hand, because Gabe, I'll fess up, we were tuning back and forth between the Sox and the Bears Friday, and I think at the point that the Bears were losing, I want to say it was about 20-10 or something, we said,
last Sunday was fun, because they really, really looked good last Sunday, and they said, we're not going to stick around for the loss. So what did you think about last night's game,
Gabe? Did we miss, Gabe?
Well, let me start by saying that Tyson Bagent officially earned that new contract he signed this week.
He sure did.
The Bears were down 17 points heading into the fourth quarter, and Bagent guided them all the way back. Granted, okay, I've already heard the arguments. It was backups against backups, but here's the thing. What we saw from Bagent is what you want from your quarterback, mm-hmm. any quarterback for that matter. You lead your team down the field. They had no timeouts. They were doing the two-minute drill, and they found a way to get a touchdown with pretty much almost no time left on the clock.
Three seconds.
Yeah, exactly. They left Kansas City no time to try to even run a play to even try to mm-hmm. Win the game. So Bagent definitely showed, what he's capable of doing. He showed that he can fill in for Caleb Williams if needed. And based on some of the issues the offense had in the early goings of the game, especially in that first quarter, I've also seen on social media people saying, hey, Bagent's going to start over Caleb. No, that's not going to happen.
Good.
But, I would not be surprised, however, if maybe there's a team out there that may not be so sure about their quarterback situation. Maybe they'll propose a trade with the Bears. I'm not saying it'll happen, mm-hmm. but, you take a look at, Bagent's body of work, especially, he gets the contract, the humbleness he showed at the press conference after signing that contract and then going out there and delivering, regardless of whether or not it was a preseason game, he still delivered when he was called upon. You may have a team that may say, hey, why don't we see if we can offer Chicago anything that'll get them to come over. Not saying it'll happen, but it's definitely something to think about over these next few days as they put their roster together.
I love Tyson Bagent's approach, his attitude, the fact that he was emotional, that he said he was doing this for his dad who did not have running water till he was in high school, which I thought, well, that's ridiculous. And then I looked it up, and sure enough, he's from a small town in Wales where they didn't have running water. Huh, who knew?
What a story.
But, Gabe, I'm very surprised at the fact that so many Bears fans have said, Caleb is so yesterday, we've got to get on the bandwagon and get us a number 17 jersey because Tyson Bagent, he's the man. He's the guy. He's going to save the... What?
That's Bears fans for you.
Just pause, take a breath.
That's
Bears fans for you.
Here's the quote that I hated, and I saw it a couple of times. We need a guy who shows that he's a family man that doesn't wear nail polish.
Oh,
what? Bleh.
That has absolutely nothing to do with football.
Sing it.
Exactly.
But, you know, here's the other thing, too. Obviously, it's been well documented that, you know, throughout training camp and throughout the offseason program, you know, Caleb's still learning a new offense. You got to remember, you know, last year, despite what he showed as a rookie, he also had his struggles. He, you know, he's a rookie, you know, first overall draft pick, living up to all the hype and the pressure, especially for a team that's been known to have, you know, less than stellar quarterback play over the course of 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're basically asking him to, hey, you know, be like the greatest quarterback we've ever had, or at least the greatest one since Sid Luckman, because if you look at the stats, Sid Luckman's been the guy for, you know, 90-plus years.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing, too, is you got to remember, this is his third different offense in 3 years. And really, he's played in a variety of different offenses since high school. You know, there was whatever he ran in high school. Then he went to Oklahoma. It was slightly different there, even though he followed his head coach from Oklahoma to USC, Lincoln Riley. He changed the offense a little bit once he got to USC. Caleb follows him there, runs the offense there. Now he comes to the NFL. And as we know, you know, the Bears offense last year, you know, Caleb was the only reason why they were able to score as many points as they did. Remember, they had a lot of 20-point games last year.
That's
and we talked
right.
about this
sure.
last year.
Yeah.
But now you're having them learn a completely different offense, more pro style, whereas maybe last year they were trying to adapt more to his skill set. Now you're having them take a deep dive into a playbook, different playbook where you're like, okay, you're going to run more pro style concepts here. You're going to be under center more. You're not going to be sitting in the shotgun all day. You're not just going to be, you know, taking one step and throw. You're going to be reading through all of your progressions. You're going to really have to, you know, study defenses more, you know, watch more film. So this is going to be, it's a lot on his plate right now. Now he can handle it, I'm sure. But, you know, I think this is what, you know, a lot of Bears fans aren't taking into account, because keep in mind, you know, Bagent's almost, you know, was in a similar situation. He was undrafted, came from a Division II school, and again, you know, college football doesn't do a lot of pro style offenses anymore. So now you're having him come in, and especially when you take a look at, he was also here under the Eberflus era, and you know, yes, he showed his flashes too, but again, you know, that was, you know, having to come in relief of Justin Fields, who had his issues here, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, Bagent's obviously, you know, more than capable, but Caleb's the guy. And, you know, like I said, the season hasn't started yet.
So stop it.
Obviously, you know, the Bears did have some struggles in the first quarter against Kansas City, but Caleb did put together two scoring drives before halftime. Yeah. So there's that. There's the take that from it. So what it's going to end up, you know, boiling down to is you just got to give, you know, this team time to put everything together.
And there is such a knee-jerk reaction on the part of so many Bears fans. And I may be in the minority, but my point of view is it looks like the Bears have an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah,
to choose from.
Two good quarterbacks. Yeah.
I hope that somebody is recording your words that you just said, because for as long as you've been in this business, in this market, you have seen a lot of bad Bears football,
I'm sure. Yeah.
And a lot of bad quarterback play.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, as Bears fans, we have a tendency to knee-jerk react to everything. And, you know, obviously I don't see that changing, at least not anytime soon. But, you know, I'm definitely not ready to abandon Caleb.
Good.
You know, he there's a lot of things that he can do, and there's a lot of things that he's gonna do once he completely, you know, wraps his head around this offense and, you know, gets down all the nuances and fundamentals of it again.
So let's just enjoy number 18 and 17.
Exactly. Yeah,
both of them.
Exactly.
So when do they play next, Gabe?
So September 8th, that's the first Monday Night Football game of the year. They got Minnesota coming to Soldier Field. And, you know, they had a couple of entertaining games against the Vikings over the last couple of years. I almost said Twins there for a minute. But, you know, but that's also going to be, you know, a tough challenge. Minnesota, their defense, they love to blitz, and they're going to come after Caleb early and often. And they're also bringing in a new quarterback. J.J. McCarthy was supposed to start last year, injured his knee in the first preseason game, ended up missing the whole season. So now he's coming back and he's basically starting from scratch because he technically didn't have a rookie year. So he's going to be in a similar boat to Caleb. So that'll be an interesting matchup to watch. But again, the big thing is going to be Minnesota's defense coming at Caleb hard throughout the game. And the Vikings, of course, J.J. McCarthy has, you know, Justin Jefferson to throw the ball to. He's been a little bit banged up during the preseason, but, you know, when he's on the field, he's one of the top receivers in the league. He's already surpassed some of the teams, the Vikings, that is, receiving records that were held by Randy Moss and Chris Carter for so long. That's how good he's been. So the season opener is definitely going to be a tough test for the Bears. I mean, the division as a whole is going to be a grind. You know, especially, you know, going up to Green Bay, let's not forget, Caleb mm-hmm. is undefeated at Lambeau Field, people.
That's right. But
let's keep that in mind. And obviously, you know, Ben Johnson going up against Detroit twice this year. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, we're going to, the teacher versus the student, essentially, is how that's going to boil down to when that game happens. But as we talked about earlier this year, when the Bears schedule first came out, there's going to be a lot of tough games on that schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to kick the ball over into the baseball field. And good Saturday for both the Cubs and the Sox, and a grand slam on the Sox.
That's what everyone was waiting to see from Colson Montgomery. You know, he's had some, you know, growing pains here and there since being called up from AAA, but that's what you brought him up for. You mm-hmm. brought him up to not only be, you know, good on defense, but to come through with the bat as well. I know when he had that error in Atlanta, he was really beating himself up over that. And that was a hard play to watch, but, you know, it wasn't even anything that he did. It's just that ball was coming at him so fast.
Yeah.
And when I was younger and certainly a lot slimmer, I did play shortstop for a season in a summer baseball league, and I hated every minute of it because those balls are hard to keep up with. But, you know, so I feel his pain in that regard, but it's good to see, you know, him getting that grand slam, obviously, helped the team tremendously. And as we've talked about, obviously, initially they went 10-5 after the All-Star break. They hit a little bit of a slump, but now the mm-hmm. Sox are starting to come back. They're starting to show, you know, life again. I mean, look what they did in Atlanta. Even though they didn't exactly win in Atlanta,
it's okay.
They pushed the Braves.
They did, and
they kept scoring home runs.
It was fun.
Every game was down to the wire,
and it was a fun thing to watch.
So we're starting to see, you know, the White Sox, you know, again mm-hmm. putting this all together. You know, watching the talent gel together. And as I said, you know, from the beginning of the season, just a lot of fundamental changes that they didn't have previously. You know, so they're doing all the basic stuff, essentially. They're not trying to hit 50 home runs. They're not trying to be, you know, flashy on either offense or defense. They're mm-hmm. just playing basic fundamental baseball while breaking in all these young players who are, you know, most of which are new to the big leagues, or, you know, they've gone back and forth between the big leagues and the minor leagues. So mm-hmm. it's a big transition for everybody, but it's slowly starting to head in the right direction.
And of course, the Cubs did really well tonight, 12-1, beating the Los Angeles Angels.
I think Kyle Tucker's back from the dead there. 5 RBIs, all of which came on 2 home runs. I actually, when I found out that the slump was because of an injury, that actually made a lot of sense to me, because it looked like he just didn't have a lot of pop in that swing that he used to. You know, there were some games where I'm just like, something's just not right here. You know, and it turns out he had a fracture in his hand, which, you know, makes it very difficult. Yeah, which makes it very difficult to swing a bat. You know, and especially once you feel that impact of the bat hitting the ball, because there is an impact from that.
You feel it through your body.
Right, and then, of course, imagine if you got a broken bone in your hand, that's probably going to hurt a lot. So it's good to see, you know, him have that type of game, get back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
Cubs are now just 6.5 behind Milwaukee.
Because Milwaukee lost to the Giants.
Right. And then, of course, it also helped that the Cubs took 3 out of 5 from the Brewers this week.
Yeah.
Again, at this point, I still don't see the Cubs catching up. It's gonna be a hard, you know, hard task for them to accomplish. But right now, they have the top spot in the wild card standing. So if they could just keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
And hang on to that. You know, like I said, when they, you know, gave up that big division lead, and the Brewers just ran away with everything with those double digit winning streaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly, I don't see the division being a realistic accomplishment for the Cubs. If they could just keep winning and stick with the formula, they'll get in the playoffs one way or another this year.
Well, thank you, Gabe. That's Gabe in our newsroom. He's going to put on his news hat now and take off his sports hat with Sports Between the Sheets.
We first met Chad Elliott. years ago when we were on WDCB promoting our Les Paul book, and he was one of the other guests there, and we were impressed with him then. He has gone on to work with a woman, I forget her name, in a group they call the Weary Ramblers, and they are finalists in the Great River Folk Festival Song Contest, and they will be traveling to Wisconsin for the finals, 11 a.m. this morning in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Wow.
You'll be able to see Chad and the Weary Ramblers.
He's an Iowa guy.
He is.
He's an amazing artist.
Oh, we have to get him. Chad, if you're driving, we want you on the show. You're so good at everything you do.
His artwork is just, he's got a style. I don't know anybody else that has the kind of style that he has.
Yeah.
He does some fabulous depictions of music groups. And it looks like something you would have seen from the 1930s.
If you want to get an idea of what we're talking about, go to chadelliott.net. Chadelliott.net, not .com, .net. And hopefully we'll be able to get him in the studio in the not-too-distant future. Speaking of things that are coming up.
Yes, yes, yes. It reminded me that aren't we at the final days of Dave Ennett on the morning show?
I believe, what, about a week, if that?
Because he will continue with the Northwestern right. Wildcats, which is great because...
The Wildcats can't exist without
Dave. That's right.
Dave.
He is the voice of the Wildcats, and it would be a jinx if he wasn't there. Yeah. So at least we get our fix. And yeah, you'll hear him here on the radio every now and then. But we've known Dave for... 4 decades. We have worked with him. We've known him. He left here for a very short period of time to go down the road to another radio station. And I remember we were broadcasting from the Chicago Auto Show one Sunday afternoon, and he was there for that radio station. And we met, and we had worked together. And he said, you know what? I think it's about time I gave a call over there to find out if there's anything open. And we were tickled to see him when he came back here. Yeah, but I'm glad he's going to be able to sleep later than 2 o'clock in the morning.
He's one of the good guys. We should mention a couple things. First of all, get your dialing finger ready because only moments from now we'll be asking for our last caller, so you can call 312-981-7200. But also we should mention that coming up next week, we have a full show, 9 o'clock start. Some of the things going on next week, John Barry, the country performer, he has a September 12th appearance at Hey Nani. It's 30 years since his number one single, Your Love Amazes Me. He's going to be joining us next week. Also, a guy that we talked to last year, you may not remember the name. He is so creative. His name is John Dudley. He is a writer, and he is responsible for a comic book that just went on sale. There was a GoFundMe. That's what we were talking about when we had him on last time. It's called City of Big Shoulders. It takes place in Chicago. It's really well done.
Oh, the art is beautiful, too.
And he has an event he's doing next week, and after the event, he's going to be joining us.
It's going to be for the launch of the book, and in fact, I'll look it up real quick and find out where you can go if you'd like to get your hands on the book and get it autographed by the people who are behind it, who made it happen. And this is really cool, too, because we watched it start out as an idea, and then a GoFundMe to get it off the ground so he could pay, you know, for artists and such, and now it's the real thing. So... We look forward to talking to him next week about that.
Also, Tom Appel will join us, publisher of Consumer Guide. We'll talk about all things automotive recalls, their most recent road tests.
And next week will actually be the earliest Labor Day weekend we can have, because it's going to be the last 2 days of August, but Monday is Labor Day. This could be weird to have, you know, Labor Day weekend is the end of August. And I do want to mention real quick that if you're looking for things to put on your calendar, Jim from Richmond, Wisconsin, took the time to send us a note and said he'd heard us talking about Misericordia a couple of weeks ago, and he wanted us to know that on September 7th, so mark your calendar, September 7th, Misericordia at Devon and Ridge will be having a family fest. And he says, you know, get out there and support them. Get to know Misericordia if you're not familiar with what they do. If you listen to Lou Manfredini, you've heard him talk over the years about his involvement with Misericordia. And we'd love to see it be a huge success on September 7th. That's a Sunday. It's the Misericordia Family Fest, and they're at Devon and Ridge in Chicago.
Uh-oh. Blue light's starting to flash. And I think I may hear something in the distance. Get your dialing finger ready. There it is.
Our listener in 847 area code beat you to it. He says, the Zamboni, I think it's ready to go. Thank you. You're right.
So a big plug, Bob is riding his Zamboni and cleaning up the studio.
We didn't even have any snacks tonight. There's nothing to clean up in here. You know what? Before we leave, let's scatter some cracker crumbs.
Okay.
I bought a bag of crackers. Again, never leave home without a bag of gluten-free crackers, just in case.
So if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And you don't have to have anything pithy to say, although if you choose to say pithy stuff.
If you've been with us all night long and you have something to say, maybe you were talking to your radio, now you can talk on the radio if you are our last caller. And if you haven't won anything from this year radio station in the last 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first, you will get some cool prizes from us, including a copy of our Life After Dark CD, which it's really funny because we had a special guest in studio tonight, Carl Giamorisi.
Right.
And we gave him a copy of that CD because he's on that CD. And
I thought he had a copy and he said he didn't.
He held it and said, "What? I've never seen this." And it was him performing 25 years ago.
Along with Bob Abrams.
Yeah, in studio with us. So that was really funny to be able to. He had gifts for us, T-shirts and CDs,
and some very cool T-shirts.
Well, in case you need another one of these, he said, "Another one? I've never even seen this before. This is great." Real quick, before we go to our final caller, I want to say,
can it be real long?
No.
Okay.
Because we don't have enough time. I want to say, Bonnie and George, thank you so much for sticking with us throughout the night. I've been getting texts and feedback and information, and Bonnie and George are wonderful. And Bobby Danos out in Sandwich, he's with us for the whole night, and I neglected to mention him in our shout-outs tonight. And Shar and Dave and Brandon in Rockford and Jim in Richmond, you guys, thank you for hanging in there with us all night, and I gleaned all of that information from the texts that have come in this evening.
And again, if you glazed over at some of the things we were talking about with Patrick Crisman, his show notes will magically appear on our blog sometime within the next 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And again, please check out our blog, and we would love it if you would subscribe. It's a free subscription. We do not spam you. steveandjohnny.wordpress.com.
But without further ado, 312-981-7200 is the number that our last caller dialed to be on the radio, and I'm choosing the number randomly. How does three sound?
Okay, number three, that would be Mike. Hi, Mike, you're on WGN. Where are you calling from?
Elmwood Park.
Hey, have you been with us all night, Mike?
Yes, I have.
All right. Thank you for tuning in and for hanging in there with us.
I'm the one with the real long name.
Oh, you are? I sent you a text and asked you to give me phonetic spelling, right?
No, I can't. I'm telling you, even, you know, when I was a kid, because it's a long Polish name, and it's hard. Believe me.
Well, there are not enough vowels in your last name. That's what had me stymied. There's an S and a Z and all.
Yeah, now I see your name on our computer screen, and there's nothing but consonants and maybe a stray vowel trying to hold on for dear life.
I texted Mike, and I apologize for not giving him a shout out? Because I got to his name and I froze. So you said I can call you Mike Ski from now on, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I heard you guys talking to Carl Gamarisi. You know, I used to bowl with their first manager, Carl Bonifetti.
Oh, sure. Gosh.
Yeah, we were talking about Carl earlier, the Screaming Wild Man.
Yeah. Yes, and I bowled with him in the bowling alley, I think, up on Cicero, 20th Century. He used to bowl on Tuesday nights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Carl had some of the wildest jackets.
Oh, yes. And when he used to bowl on Tuesday nights, he'd bring probably about 10 bowling balls with him.
What?
Why?
Yes. Well, I don't know. You know, I guess he figured if one didn't work, another nine wouldn't hurt him.
Now, wait a minute. Would he walk into the bowling alley with 10 bowling balls? What, did he have a Mack truck to take him in?
Two-wheeler.
A two-wheeler? So that's like a golfer. A good golfer takes a number of clubs with him, so Carl would take a number of bowling balls. I love that.
He would.
That's great.
I know it's crazy, but, you know, I never brought that many when I used to bowl. I'd bring three, if anything. Four.
Really? I've never heard anybody bring more than one.
Yeah, that's...
Well, you know,
yeah.
I was bowling for 35 years, and I'm a student of the game, and, you know, you learn certain things.
We used to have a bowling show on WGN Radio.
Yes.
And it held the record. Yes, the Ten Pin Tattler held the record for being the longest regular radio show in history. Because it was like 60 years it was on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you remember that, too.
Oh, yeah. I used to listen to it all the time because half of the guys that I bowl with in Chicago, their names were on each show.
That's wild.
Do you still regularly bowl?
No. I haven't touched a ball in 17 years.
Oh, my.
Okay. What was your high game?
300.
Whoa.
No.
All right.
Actually, I 300, but my high series was 825.
Wow.
That's impressive, yeah. You're talking to a woman who got excited when I cracked 100. I was like, oh, you mean this isn't like golf? I should be doing better than that?
My first 300, I my legs were shaking on the 12th ball, but the second one that I shot, it was like another day at the office.
Well, aren't you kind of...
Did you ever learn how to do any trick shots?
No.
No, this was serious business, Steve. Come on.
I bowl with some guys that would go, you know, they'd be bowling just for the fun of it as guys. I don't do that.
It's a serious business, right?
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay, so now why are you up at this hour on a Saturday night?
I'm always up this hour. I mean, when I found out that you guys were still on the radio, because I used to listen to GN quite a bit, and then they went through a transitional period with that other with the guy, Randy Michaels, and I couldn't listen to that station.
Thank you.
He had a bunch of junk on there, and now that you guys are on Saturday nights, and I'm glad that you guys are still on, because I used to listen to you guys when you were on IND.
Oh my gosh.
So you've been with us for a long time.
You grew up with us then, right?
I mean, I used to listen to Steve King. My brother used to work at W.F. Hall Printing, and every time he'd get out at 11 o'clock and Steve would play on his show, Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight.
Yep.
Where I remember, you know.
That's a great memory. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, we're tickled that you listened to us, and thank you. I'm so glad you're the one that got through tonight, and I did not know that you were the Mike Ski that I had texted with this evening, because I literally said, if you will give me a phonetic pronunciation.
I wish I could.
That's how he answered me. I wish I could. I don't know.
I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, it's even hard now. I mean, you know, people try to pronounce it, and please don't.
Yeah, I'm looking at, what, do you have 12 letters in your name?
Yeah.
And 1,
yeah.
2, 3,
only
4,
two
5,
vowels.
6, 7, 8, 9 of those letters are consonants.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mike, it's a pleasure to meet you, and thank you so much for hanging out with us over the years. We are going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt.
And do you have one of our Life After Dark CDs?
No.
Good.
I'd like to get one.
Well, good. We're going to send you one of those as well. Thank you so much.
Hold on for a second, and Julian will get some of your personal information off the air. Like nine consonants, and I think there were three numbers in there, too.
That's so funny, because I do text with people.
And then the asterisk. And
stop it. No. I think I freak some people out when I answer them back. And they're like, wait, woo. And some people have texted and said, will you tell Steve and Johnny? And I say, I got it loud and clear. And they write back and go, oh, is that you? I didn't know. Yeah, we've got the screen right in front of us. And if I don't...
We see everything.
If I don't... But I don't see
everything. We see your phone
numbers. No, I don't see everything. I don't see a long message, so you have to forgive me if it takes me some time to get back to that, because we're kind of doing a radio show at the same time.
We are?
I'm trying to read the messages.
Oh, okay.
But a real quick thing, you need to know that your history pops up too. So if you get ugly, we can see where you've been.
We can go back to every text that you sent to WGN, even if it was years ago, and I'm not kidding.
Literally.
Even if it was years ago,
yes.
We can find every text from your phone number that was sent to WGN.
So Bob, who likes to complain, we can see you've been complaining for the last 4 years. Okay? Hey, thank you, guys.
This has been a fast 5 hours. We will do it again. Theoretically, we'll do it again next Saturday night.
Yes, we will.
Starting at 9 o'clock, so we hope you will hang out with us. Thank you to Julian and Bob and Ron
and Gabe and all the ships at sea.
And thanks most often, most importantly, to you for hanging out with us.